This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Dean struck Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula this morning as a powerful Category 5 storm. Dean has now been downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane and is expected to grow and make landfall again on Wednesday along the Mexican coast. President Bush is in Canada today for the Quebec summit, meeting with Canadian and Mexican leaders. The heads of state have agreed on a mutual strategy to avoid crippling delays in border crossings during emergency situations, such as a terrorist attack or a natural disaster. Russian military officials want the Czech Republic to postpone a decision to accept a U.S. radar station. Moscow views the proposed missile intercept system as a threat and told Prague it would be making, quote, a big mistake if it agreed to the plan, and has urged them to wait until another U.S. president is elected before they decide. In Huntington, Utah, federal and mine officials are quickly losing optimism in the efforts to rescue the 6 miners trapped in a collapsed mine over 2 weeks ago. Efforts to reach the miners have resulted in no signs of life, insufficient oxygen supply, and the death of 3 rescue workers. 3 weeks before the long-awaited Iraq War report to Congress, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq has unusually strong words of criticism for the new government. Ambassador Ryan Crocker called progress on the national level in Iraq, quote, extremely disappointing and frustrating to all concerned. At a Quebec press conference today, President Bush expressed his frustration in Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. The president said that it is up to the Iraqi people, not American politicians, to decide whether to support the prime minister. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has set to rest speculation that he will throw his hat in the 2008 presidential ring. Bloomberg said today that he cannot win and will not run. The 65-year-old billionaire fueled rumors of a campaign by traveling the country recently to push his agenda. Reuters reports the number 2 man at the Pentagon has produced a memo establishing 25 goals to be accomplished before the end of the Bush administration. The list includes an expansion of elite military forces and a new strategy for detaining terrorism suspects. In Minneapolis, a 13th body has been recovered from the Mississippi River. Authorities say the remains belong to the last person listed as missing from the collapse of the I-35 bridge earlier this month. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up next.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
The space shuttle Endeavour made an uneventful landing this afternoon at Cape Canaveral in Florida. The shuttle returned home a day early because of Hurricane Dean, and after 9 days in space, delivering components and preparing the space station for lab modules. Researchers Monday established more evidence in the case that a cold virus could contribute to obesity. The study shows that stem cells, when exposed to the common virus, would turn into fat cells and store additional fat. If the theory is confirmed, a vaccine could be available in the next 5 to 10 years. A study released today says that more than 1 million American children have undiagnosed high blood pressure, which may lead to organ damage later in life. Researchers speculate that this is due to the assumption of some doctors that high blood pressure is strictly an adult problem. The number of home foreclosures last month demonstrates a 97% jump from July last year. This July saw almost 180,000 foreclosures. Last July, 93,000. Apple's music download store iTunes is facing 2 new competitors today. MTV and Real Networks have announced plans for a joint venture in music downloads. Also today, Walmart has announced a new service selling music free from anti-piracy technology. Both will offer music at prices similar to those of iTunes. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.47 a barrel. Gold is trading at $666.20 an ounce. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner.
with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Two days in and the outrages continue. 2 days into the new week, that is. You know, I heard our good friend Mark Levine say that because he's in Washington and it happens to be August, that he's in a ghost town. And, you know, it's the standard assumption of Beltway folks and people who focus on Washington that August is a terribly, deadly, dull, boring month because all of the philanderers and frauds and phonies and cronies and creeps and generally icky people are gone from Washington, and that therefore there is no news. I mean, way, 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 way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth and I was a young cub news announcer, the heavy hitters in the newsroom would take their vacations in August. Vacation would be dictated by when Washington went on vacation, because it was deemed just a miserable time to try to do news, because you didn't have Washington there. Well, I take, you know, I was thinking about that when Mark said it, because Mark and I, as he noted last week when we had our sort of super friends shows, we do have 3-hour conversations, and they're a blast. They're just so much fun. And I think about the things that Mark says, because Mark's genius is that Mark is able to inspire me to fire up the few remaining little brain cells that that I haven't tortured and tormented over the years to actually do something. And so I think about the things he says, and I kind of disagree with him about August. Because what you find out in August is what really is going on in the country. When you turn the volume down on Washington and you have to pay attention to the rest of the world, you get a better sense for what the world is really like. At least that's my thinking on the topic. And along those lines, I realized that what the nature of my training, my teaching, my learning was originally just like what everybody else gets, that, you know, Washington is what matters. But when you step away from that, when you realize that there are oodles of people out there every day who are talking about what's happening in Washington and what the politicians have done, and, you know, the people who do it, especially the liberals who do it so very, very well. There's nobody out there better at it than Mark Levine. Deconstructing arguments, talking about why policy matters, why differences in policy are important. And there is a very, very valid place in the spectrum for that. God knows there's a valid place in the horn for that. And from time to time, I can do it too. But if you get right down to it and you start, and I start thinking about what matters to me, in many ways, I couldn't give a fig what happens in Washington most of the time. Because I think the real story of America is the story of the people who get up and really go to work every day. I don't mean the people who are senators and congressmen and have the best socialized medicine available on the planet. I mean the people who get up and go get grease on their knuckles. And the people who go into coal mines. And the people who work in the parts department of the local Chevy dealer. The lady that works at the hair salon. The woman who is out front at the law office putting up with all manner of freaks walking in. I want to see Mr. Something, you know, and really, you know, being the public face of that law firm. Nurses. Record clerks. X-ray techs. Sales people on department store floors. And yes, even Walmart workers. Drywall hangers, electricians. You see, that to me is so much more of what America is than some guy in a suit who plays go-along, get-along politics and won't fight for the people walking the floors at Macy's and won't fight for the lady up to her elbows in the hair dye at the salon, and won't fight for the woman out front at the law office, and won't fight for the guy in the parts department, and won't fight for the guy with the bleeding knuckles from where the wrench slipped as he was trying to get the damned alternator off. Won't fight for those people. These people are much more important to me, and these people have much more compelling stories to tell. And the lives that they have to lead, especially when they lead them in red state hellholes, you know, like Texas. We've been talking a lot about Texas lately. These people get my attention, and it's their stories that I find ever so much more interesting. And, well, there's a bunch of them. Now I can start and say, you know, okay, we will do a Washington story, and we will. This one in particular, Mark alluded to a little bit, and it's one of those that really makes you want to just, you know, what's the intro music for this program say? Come up screaming. You know, we've talked a lot about poison Chinese toothpaste. And we've talked about poison Chinese dog food. And it turns out that Wally World is quietly pulling all of the chicken jerky snacks off of Walmart shelves because it comes from China, it's poisonous, and it's killing people's beloved pets. But they won't announce a recall because somewhere along the way, they've gotten a call from Beijing telling them, don't you do that. Already the Chinese government is protesting that us objecting to being poisoned by their crap is a form of protectionism. And what an offense that is. But not to worry, Mr. and Mrs. America. Your kids' pajamas may spontaneously combust because of the high level of formaldehyde in them. Your kids' kidneys may fail from the propylene glycol in the toothpaste. Your kids' beloved puppy may roll over and drop dead in an agonizing death from poison dog food. And, you know, barring all of that, maybe the little Mattel Elmo toy, or Thomas the Tank Engine, or Dora the Explorer that your little precious baby is playing with, maybe the lead paint off of that will chip off and cause brain damage. And you will, of course, be understandably upset when all of that happens. And so, too, is the Bush administration. And so, too, is the People's Republic of China. That formerly communist country that is engaged in a Republican free market capitalist miracle right now. Dateline Washington, haha, there is something happening in Washington, even though it is August. Dateline Washington, the Bush administration, and China have both undermined efforts to tighten rules designed to ensure that lead paint isn't used in toys, bibs, jewelry, and other children's products. Both the Bush administration and the Chinese communists have fought efforts to better police imported toys from China. Both are under increased scrutiny following last week's massive toy recall by Mattel, the world's largest toy maker, who makes no toys in America, by the way. This from an article by Kevin G. Hall of McClatchy Newspapers. The Bush administration has hindered regulation on two fronts. It has stalled efforts to press for greater inspections of imported children's products, and it altered the focus of the Consumer Product Safety Commission, moving it from aggressive protection of consumers to a more manufacturer-friendly approach. Batten down the hatches, because or find that rubber brick we used to talk about. God, I want the rubber brick. We need the rubber horn brick so badly. Get the rubber brick, because you're going to be heaving it in a minute. Let that sink in. The Consumer Product Safety Commission is designed or was intended to deal with product safety issues in regard to the people who purchased them. The Bush administration turned that entire process on its damned head and makes it a flak group for the poisoners. You know, again, last week in our my conversation with Mark, we found out that, once again, the King James Version of the Bible, where it says in Exodus, "Suffer not a witch to live," may more accurately be translated, "Suffer not a poisoner to live." Never mind that. Our entire economic future hangs in the balance with a government that consists of poisoners. Poison toothpaste, poison dog food, poison pajamas, poison toys. And the Bush administration can't be bothered to participate in at least inspecting the imports from China. The Bush administration is so enthralled to the Chinese communists that it cannot participate or demand participation in greater inspection of the toys that our babies play with. Perhaps because they are part of the culture of life. Remember the culture of life? The Republicans came out during the Terry Schiavo debacle talking about their culture of life and called the Congress back into session on Easter night to vote for an ex post facto bill of attainder for Terry Schiavo because they had a culture of life? I remember it. Well, as with all things Republican, it turns out that the culture of life is a phony, it's a fraud, it's a scam, it's a rotten thing, a dead thing, a maggot-infested thing. Because when the rubber meets the road, we can't be bothered to have a culture of life. We can't be bothered to enforce the laws that speak to the right to life of living children. We cannot be bothered. The overall philosophy is regulations are bad and they are too large a cost for industry and the market will take care of it, said Rick Melberth, director of regulatory policy at OMB Watch, a government watchdog group formed in 1983. That's been the philosophy of the Bush administration. Regulations are bad and they are too large a cost for industry. How many times have we seen this business where the Bush administration says, well, you know, business can be trusted to regulate itself and we'll have voluntary performance programs that they'll sign on to? Isn't that how we wound up with 12 dead miners in Sago? Isn't that how we've wound up with 6 dead miners and 3 dead rescuers at Crandall Canyon? Isn't that how we wound up with the thousands upon thousands of bloated, hot, stinking dead floating in the fetid waters of Katrina? Because government oversight and government regulation is bad for business? Isn't that the philosophy of the Bush administration? I think you know the answer. Tom Neltner is a co-chairman of the Sierra Club's National Toxics Committee. He said, we've been complaining about this issue, warning it is going to happen, and it is disappointing that it has happened. Oh, Tom, take the damn gloves off, brother. Join us in the fight. Stop being nice. Stop saying things like we're disappointed. We're pissed off. And we are disinclined to tolerate it anymore. Get your Sierra Club members marching on Washington, Tom. Get your consumer product oversight watchdogs marching on Washington, Rick Melberth. The president, the Bush administration has asked the Department of Health and Human Services to report in September. At some point at which the report will be buried by the news of the phony report by General Petraeus, on ways to better ensure safe imports. Ah, yes, we're going to have a committee meeting. Maybe the parents on the committee can bring their children to the meeting and they can sit in the corner and gnaw on some lead-painted Mattel toys from China. You know, a lot of George Bush's problems become abundantly clear when you think about that hateful old beast, Barbara Bush, who spent most of George Bush's infancy peddling him off to neighbors down the road to watch him. And little Georgie in the corner with a lead-painted gun in his mouth, gnawing on it and rotting his brain. It all kind of fits together now, doesn't it? And those little dinner table conversations where Babs would look at Poppy and say, hey, why can't Georgie read? Well, quit feeding him lead paint chips and dip, Babs! You know, it really does. Because lead paint produces brain damage. And, of course, the Babs and Pappy were living around some pretty toxic places when George was born and during his infancy. Midland, Texas is one great big poisonous the carcinogenic love canal from the oil industry. I think we have a poisoned president in office. See, here's the background. From 1994 until 2001, Anne Brown headed the Consumer Product Safety Commission under Presidents Clinton and Bush, and she didn't push for an outright ban on lead in all children's products, partly because China's rise to export prowess hadn't yet unfolded. But she says, if I were at CPSC now, I'd say that trying to recall tainted products is like picking sand out of the beach. It's just not possible. You see, that's the little thing that flies under the radar. It's not the Mattel toys. It's not the flammable pajamas. God, it's like, what was the Saturday Night Live skit with Dan Aykroyd? Where he had, Johnny, he had the Johnny Spaceman. There was a dry cleaning plastic bag with a helmet. And then he turned, and then he turns green like a spaceman. You know, the way the Bush administration is with their marketing, they'll probably just call Beijing and tell them to remarket the flammable pajamas as Johnny Flameout. But that's the thing that goes under the radar here. It's not the Chinese pajamas. It's not the Chinese dog food. It's not the Chinese gluten. It's not the Chinese lead-painted toys. It is every damned thing that comes from that country, because that country is engaged in a capitalist miracle where money is God. Don't buy into that stupidity about how the communists are atheists. The communist Chinese are very, very religious people. And they worship money. Because going way, 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 way back when, to when George H.W. Bush was the United States ambassador to communist China, they forged an ongoing relationship. Always remember that the current president's uncle, Prescott Bush Jr., was the president of the U.S.-China Chamber of Commerce. This is not accidental. This isn't fake. This isn't something that just happened. American companies who have for years and years and years pissed and moaned and bitched and griped about environmental regulations, they won't let us do business. They're keeping us from being able to do business. We can't do no business in America because of them damn tree-hugging Enviro-Nazis. We can't do no business because we can't pollute the rivers and the lakes and the streams. How are we supposed to do business if we can't pump filth into the air? And so when China opened up and had no environmental regulation whatsoever, the next step was to grant China most favored nation trading status. And then China reciprocated by easing back on so-called communist property ownership rules, and these free enterprise zones sprang up, and the next thing you know, Chinese workers are chained to tables in Longdong province and spray painting lead paint onto Elmo to send over for little Susie to gnaw on and get her brain rotted with. All in the name of free trade. Free trade. But you see, that's just the first step in this process. That's just the beginning. Because once your child has been poisoned by the capitalist miracle in China, and once the Bush administration has bowed down and done for the, and George has done for the Chinese premier what Monica did for Bill, because the Chinese hold billions in George's bad paper, once all that happens and your kid is sick, poisoned, and damn near dying, God help you if you expect any sort of medical treatment for it from the purveyors of the culture of life. Because you will cry, Lord, Lord, and you will not be heard. Because the culture of life has other priorities. The culture of life is engaged in protecting not the life of a child, but the life of a business. The life of a cronyist. The life of a looter. The culture of life is interested in the life of an insurance company executive. Mm-hmm. How do I know this? Well, little article out of the New York Times. White House acts to limit health plan for children is the headline. At the same time that the Bush administration is out doing for the Chinese premier what Monica did for Bill, it is also out doing for the insurance industry what Monica did for Bill. Because the Bush administration is doing everything in its power to stop the reauthorization of the Children's Health Insurance Program. Jesus, the loathing that wells up for these sons of bitches inside my soul is almost inexpressible. The Bush administration wants to make it impossible for the several states to extend children's health insurance coverage to families that aren't doing more than barely surviving. The poverty level for a family of four is $20,000 in this country. That's not after tax, that's before tax. And yes, we tax families that make $20,000 stinking dollars. We tax them, as our good friend Mark Levine noted, at a higher rate than we tax billionaires. And so they are supposed to qualify for children's health insurance. But some states have looked at those levels and said, you know, if you make $30,000 a year and you've got a family of four, or if you make $50,000 a year and you've got a family of four, it may very well be impossible to purchase health insurance for your children because health insurance is so godforsaken expensive. And the Bush administration, reading their Bible backwards as usual, have responded by saying, come on, y'all, let's let them little children suffer. Not suffer the little children to come unto me. The Bush administration says they intend to impose changes on the Children's Health Insurance Program to prevent the coverage of people above the poverty line in order to, quoting the article here, focus on low-income children and, oops, here's the reason, make sure the program doesn't become a substitute for private health coverage. Make sure that the program doesn't become a substitute for some fat bastard insurance executive being able to make a $27 million Christmas bonus off of little Johnny's juvenile diabetes. There are not enough awful things that can happen to a fat rat bastard insurance executive to suit me. The Bush administration is moving to make sure that the Children's Health Insurance Program cannot become a substitute for making a tidy profit off the illness of our most precious, our weakest, and our most at risk. Is your blood boiling yet? Do you want the... screw the rubber brick. I want a real one. And I want to strap it to an axe handle. And I want to beat down doors until I find the son of a bitch who thinks that insurance executives are more important than America's children. And I want to have a little conversation with Dr. Dobson while I'm at it, who thinks that unborn children are more important than living ones and cannot be bothered to say a damned word in support of insuring America's children against crippling disease, illness, misery, and death. Oh, this is a complicated little article because it talks about up to 250% of the poverty level, up to 400% of the poverty level. You know, some Republicans have said, and the Bush administration in particular, I don't think it's appropriate for us to be paying for health insurance for children whose parents make $80,000 a year. I do. Why would you discriminate against a child based upon how much its parents make? Or how little? Is this not America? Is this not the land of the free and the home of the Braves? Or Brave? Sorry, I grew up listening to Braves games on the radio. I thought the national anthem was a song about the Atlanta baseball team. But isn't this a country where we're all equal in the eyes of the law, where every, you know, each man is, all men are created equal in the eyes, endowed with the create and all of that crap? Isn't that us? Does a child in a family of four, mommy, daddy, baby, baby, shall we punish that child for being born to a family that actually ekes out a living at $80,000 a year? Newsflash, 80 grand ain't a whole bunch. I mean, under current situations here, let's see, what are we now, Agnes? We are a family of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hey, look, we get a TV show. 8 is enough. Oh, boy, ain't 8 enough. If I was bringing in 100 large and making a mortgage payment and trying to stave off foreclosure because I got it through Countrywide or one of these other BS mortgage brokers who didn't know how to manage money, and making an insurance, a house insurance, a homeowner's payment, and making the, you know, the auto insurance payment for 2 or 3 vehicles, and buying groceries, and buying fuel, and paying $4 a gallon for milk, for that family of 8, guess what? 80 large a year is damn near poverty level. Because, see, that poverty level, that 20 grand for a family of 4, mommy, daddy, baby, baby, when it turns into mommy, daddy, baby, 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 it starts moving up. You know, when you get to the level of, like, some Mormon families where it's mommy, daddy, baby, 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 other mommy, baby, baby, other mommy, baby, baby, you'd damn near have to be Howard Hughes before you came up out of the poverty gutter. But the Bush administration doesn't care, because what the Bush administration is concerned with is that the program not become a substitute for private health coverage, because the real welfare queens in this equation are the presidents of Aetna and Snake Farm and Allsnake and Kaiser Permanente and all the Blue Cross Blue Shields of this, that, and the other. There's your welfare queens. There are the people who are being propped up by government, just like last week we found out that the real welfare queens in America were the people who worked at the Salomon Smith Barney Merrill broker lynching and stuff, who got a tasty infusion of cash into the market by the Federal Reserve to the tune of somewhere around $36 billion. California wants to increase its income limit to 300% of the poverty level, you see, from 250%. And the Bush administration says you can only do that if you can prove that you have signed up 95% of the people at the poverty level. 95% of the children. Not one state has succeeded in signing up 95% of the children. And if, by God, by the way, you start registering every child born at every hospital in every state based on income guidelines for this program, you know what you'll hear from the Republicans? It's big government. Big government is big brother. Big brother is coming, they're registering your baby, and your baby ain't gonna have no freedoms no more. Next thing you know, they'll be trying to take your baby's Second Amendment right to own and carry a gun to the kindergarten away from them. Big government is the problem. Big government's on your back. And do everything in their power to take away the ability of the state to register the children. That's what, you know, I said I wasn't going to start with a Washington story. I don't see this as a Washington story. Yeah, it's Washington because the Bush administration's involved, but Jesus, the involvement of the Bush administration is screwing people in West Virginia and Alabama and Tennessee and Kansas and New York, in Pennsylvania, in California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, yeah, and even godforsaken rogue state Texas. So this is the typical this is the typical Bush administration game where they create fallback positions and we keep chasing them and they keep running away. Because at the end of the day, this program drops dead on September 30th. So if you're on the Children's Health Insurance Program and you think your child has been exposed to poisonous Chinese garbage, get them to the hospital before then, would you? Because that's when the culture of life wears out. The culture of life, the program that was put in place not during any Republican presidential administration, but during the administration of Bill Clinton. And the Republicans have hated it from the minute it went forward. You know, everybody in talking about it, well, you know, 18 Senate Republicans crossed the line to vote for this. Hell's bells, it was easy for them. They get to go home and say on the hustings during the election cycle, well, I voted for children's health insurance, but that dirty son of a bitch George Bush vetoed it. And then they go home and they snicker up their sleeves. Yeah, we worked that one out pretty good. That was some pretty damn good wrestling we did, us and George. We vote for it and make it look like we want it, and then he vetoes it, and there ain't enough people on the vote on the other side in the House of Representatives to overturn the veto, and we get to go home and look like we was actually giving a damn about poor folks when we just assumed they'd drop the hell dead. That's how it works. It really, really is how it works, and you know it. You know it daggum well. Let's go talk to our good buddy Alan calling from the road. Albert. Oh, I thought it was Alan Trucker. Oh, okay, it's Albert then. Sorry. Well, I want to talk to you, Albert, then.
Hey, Bob, how are you today?
Yeah, you're a guy who starts with Al. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, you know.
I really should never ask that on this program.
I know that's a trap right there. How you doing? Well, no, you know, it is absolutely mind numbing how we just. Last time I called, the same thing. It's kind of the same thing now. I mean, it's just a continual loop. It's a loop-de-loop. It's like there's nothing, no other part of the roller coaster except a big circle, and everybody just, you know, it's not even, we don't even go upside down. We just go in circles, like at the carnival, like the little cheesy Big Apple worm roller coaster ride for four-year-olds. I mean, they're taking away children's health care. They're making it so we can't declare bankruptcy when you got this paint, all this paint, right? Lead paint, this. And what is one of the symptoms? What does it look like? It looks like autism, right? Now, autism is exploding, right, throughout the country, right? It's so much so that they put signs up on the road where it's like, oh, every 20 seconds a child is diagnosed with autism. Now, I'm a parent, as you know, and that's not a comforting thing at all to hear. And so, like, I could see a lot of parents, they would sit there and, you know, their kid would suck on some toy that would have some paint on it from China or whatever, as all these products are made from there now. You know, you sit there, and next thing you know, your kid has autism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your kid has autism. But now you can't even sit here. You can't declare bankruptcy, you can't do this, and you can't write off your medical bills, you can't do any of this stuff. So we're sitting here now in this product. I mean, it's almost like, you know, the lead paint is chipping off, and we're finally really starting to see the large picture of what the paint was covering up. And it's this giant beast. It's this disgusting giant beast.
Yeah.
That now we have this, and it's unleashed, and it's sitting here running around, running amok, just cannibalizing us. You know, you got it in every way you got to look. You got it in McDonald's where they're sitting there grinding up spinal cords to put in hamburgers as filler. Spinal cords, Bob.
Oh, I know. Prions.
Yeah, I know, Prion City. I mean, we're sitting here in 2007 with more and more and more and more nonsense. Weren't you just saying that, I mean, to recall all these products would be impossible?
Yeah.
To me, that just says, well, that just about covers everything. You know, and now we can't trust our labels. People fight for the label. They fight for the label. They fought for the organic label, and they've been doing that. And I don't even know for how long. I mean, now they go out and they have to shut down these organic milk producers because they're really not organic milk producers. They're just these giant factory farms that,
yeah,
you know, get organic corn and feed it to their cows and try to pretend like, oh, see, this is organic grass-fed beef that, you know, has wild pastures that it can go out and run around under the cork tree. You know, we sit here and, I mean, even in my county, I mean, we just got a tremendous blow. They're allowing factory farms. So now we're going to be like South Carolina in my county. Now, my county happens to be one of the poorest counties in Wisconsin, but that doesn't change the fact that, you know, it's still like an organic hub. I mean, it's actually, if you actually go and look online where, you know, the organic milk producers and all that other stuff are, it's like all in my area. It's a picturesque little thing, and now all of a sudden they're going to put these 5,000-head hog farm buildings with all the, you know, we're going to have lakes and rivers of sewage just pouring everywhere and through our trout streams and everything else. And who is for this? I don't understand. Who is for this? Who is for these kinds of things? Who sits there and says, it's almost like these people...
Albert, is that rhetorical?
No, it's actually it's a serious question. Who is really for this stuff?
Because you and me, we could go to Washington, D.C. when Congress comes back in session, and I could take a little laser pointer, and we could sit in the gallery of the Senate, and I could say, he's for it, and she's for it, and she's for it, and he's for it, and he's for it. And then we could go into the House of Representatives and have a big old time.
Yeah, but those people... I mean, I know you know this, and I know most everyone knows this. Those people are not you and me. The only one there's a few of them that are us, you know, in terms of working people that, you know, never had, you know, silver platters with gold bars on them handed to them, none of that kind of stuff. And, you know, those people are the people that are against it. I mean, here's some good news, actually. I mean, Dennis Kucinich. And the MSNBC voting, you know, they took a poll and who won?
No, ABC.
Today? Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he wins at MSNBC. Do you know what happened at ABC?
What happened?
After the Iowa debate?
Yeah.
You know, the recent one?
Mm-hmm.
They put the online poll up, you know, who do you think won the debate?
Mm-hmm.
And after a significant amount of voting, it was Dennis Kucinich, 13,000 plus votes.
Wow.
Barack Obama, 8,000. Hillary Clinton, 5,000.
Mm.
John Edwards, 4,000. And everybody else just watching. Okay?
Yeah.
It's one of those see it to believe it kind of things, Albert. I'm looking for the link. Looking for the link right here. Oh, here it is. Yeah. The actual data, or the actual numbers, if this thing will show up strongly enough. Yeah. The actual numbers after this, 12,450, Obama 8,927, Hillary Clinton 5,703, Joe Biden 3,386, John Edwards 3,200, nobody won, I'm voting Republican 1,711. All right. It comes, and ABC scrubbed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so then the new poll comes out and it says Barack Obama 1,761, Hillary Clinton 1,424, Dennis Kucinich 879, and even after that I went to it and clicked a little box and lo and behold Dennis was back out in front again.
let me guess, scrubbed?
I don't know that they've scrubbed it yet. This came from IntoSanity.com, I think. But you can go to abcnews.com/politics and click on debate, issues, votes, and videos, and you'll see it again. They completely scrubbed Dennis Kucinich. because he didn't just win. It wasn't a squeaker. He stomped the guts out of the mainstream corporatized Democratic presidential candidates.
Yep. It's because he's not electable, Bob. Remember that. He's not electable. He, even though he's getting, you know, vast majorities of polls, I mean, even in even on NPR in Wisconsin, where I was sitting here, as you know, I listen to it at night sometimes, in the morning sometimes, they had a straw poll where people would call in and, you know, they did it for an hour. He smoked them. He smoked everybody. He absolutely, I mean, this is open not just to the, this was all of them. And of every candidate running for president, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, what have you, he destroyed them. It was like 26 to 11. And Ron Paul and Hillary Clinton were tied at 11. But yeah, he's destroyed them. And this is what I'm talking about. We have grassroots. What is more grassroots than the people who are asked a question, who do you think won, what candidate represents your views, and consistently. And to anybody who's actually paying attention, it's always Dennis Kucinich. It's Dennis Kucinich. And this is a good thing, because you know in 2004, nobody paid attention to Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich was nothing. Oh, it's Kerry, it's blah, 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 blah. So the whole same old crew. Now, this is the thing. What is it that means to be electable? To be electable, right? It's the one who gets.
Well, apparently, electability is something that is determined in the stodgy old oat panel boardrooms of the lamestream media, because this isn't anything new. ABC feels absolutely free to go out and scrub Dennis Kucinich from this polling data, and it's not polling data; it's just a simple opinion thing online.
Mm-hmm.
But it says something, okay?
Because
Obama and Hillary have mighty, mighty machines. They've got an email list from hell, and they can put out the blast, you know, go vote 92 times for Hillary. Go vote 78 times for Obama. And you know, their little followers, their little minions are quite motivated.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And they'll go and they'll do it.
They're...
And even so, with all that money and all that infrastructure, they couldn't overcome Dennis Kucinich. All right? Now, you couple that, Albert, with what happened last week when the New York Times, you know, the paper of record, put out a news story about another debate and positions on the Iraq war. Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel, but, you know, Mike Gravel, Jesus.
Yeah.
But Dennis and Mike Gravel were completely left out of the article. If a Martian was reading it, the Martian wouldn't have known that Dennis Kucinich was running.
Yeah.
And Obama and Hillary were said to be the Obama was said to be the only one with a pre-war opposition record to the war. No kidding. They said that with a straight face in the New York Times.
Oh man. See, but that's the thing is it's just echoes of all of our. I look at all of our conversations as one big conversation, and we're sitting here, and this is the same thing that we always say. They don't want change. This is why the New York Times does this. This is even the blogs that I visit. Like, you know, you'll be like, look, Dennis Kucinich is the one that he's the one that comprehends what we, the working people, the people that are starting blogs, and the people that, they say blogs with such contempt. You know, we're the ones that sit here and do this, the horn and all this other stuff. We're the working class. We're the ones that are the majority. And when we say we want this, this is what it should be. It shouldn't be what some pundits and some, you know, styrofoam heads sit here and telling us what it should be. This is what we want. This is what we want. So you should sit there and say, well, you people are so interested in this. At least discuss Dennis Kucinich. I mean, I've heard some of the weakest attacks on this man, talking about how, oh, he made, was it Cincinnati?
No, Cleveland. Oh, he bankrupted Cleveland. And anybody who knows Dennis's record can sit there and say, yeah, and the city of Cleveland is awfully damn grateful that he did, too.
Hmm. But wasn't it bankrupt before he even went in?
No, it was bankrupted by the big banks who were trying to take away and privatize the public municipal utilities. That's what it was about. It was the Clevelanders lovingly refer to it as the Muni, the Municipal Power and Light Company. And the banks came in and told Dennis, you can either give us the Muni or we will call our notes. And he said, call them, you sons of bitches. And they did. The city went bankrupt, and the bankers didn't get the Muni, and Cleveland still has a reliable municipal power and light company.
Hmm. He's, you know, And I have a couple friends that live in Ohio, and they have nothing but good things to say about him. You know, this is the thing. He doesn't take any money from the corporations like Hillary. And, you know, these are things that, you know, I'm just going to have to start calling, you know, all these other radio stations now, because this is one of those things. You don't understand. He doesn't take he doesn't take it. Kind of like, Ralph Nader will take anyone's money. But
even Republicans.
Like, oh, no, I'm not taking your money. No, I'm not taking your money. And I think it's because of that, because he doesn't raise the stats. You know, he doesn't.
But bear in mind, the 2004 campaign, Albert, Dennis wasn't the little match girl trying to rub the frost on the window and look inside. Dennis Kucinich raised $14 million in the 2004 campaign. That ain't chicken feed. It's just not sufficient to, it's not sufficient to keep up with the Solomon Brothers or Goldman Sachs.
Well, that's true. And, you know, and that's why they, I mean, it's almost one of those things is anytime, if somebody sits there and says to me, oh, Dennis Kucinich is not electable, and they don't expand upon the fact that, you know, because the money, the powered interests are against him, so they put a lot of money against him, and that's why he's not electable. Because, I mean, you know as well as I do, if the man ever did win, he wouldn't last, just like that Wyclef Jean song. You know, if I was president, I'd be elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, and buried on Sunday. Yeah, I think that's kind of what would happen to Kucinich. He would just, which,
well, I'd like to think that maybe the Secret Service, I mean, if the Secret Service is competent enough to guard an addle-pated booby like George Bush, surely to God they can guard a smart guy like Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this guy has everything going for him. You know, I'd love to look John Sweeney, the president of the AFL-CIO, right in the eye and say, hey, John, buddy, there's only one Democrat running for president who still has a card, a union card, whose dues he pays every year and is a member of the AFL-CIO. Why in the hell won't you support him and endorse him? Why won't you do it, John? Who's paying you not to?
Mm.
Okay? I'd like to look at all the middle classers who say, you know, I want to sit down and have a beer with the guy. I want a president I can have a beer with. This guy, this guy is Cleveland. Okay?
Yeah.
This guy, you can't, he's not white collar, he's not ivory tower. This is a guy who when he was a child and his daddy was out of work, lived in a car. That is the 20th century equivalent of Abraham Lincoln learning to read by candlelight and walking 40 miles to take the damn book back.
Amen.
This is a real American. This is a guy who knows where America is and what it is. This is not a Yaley. This ain't a Harvard man. This is a smart guy who has used his smarts to rise up.
Yeah, indeed. And he really is America's best hope.
Yeah. In the chat room there, you're there too. You can see ELO pointing out that he still lives in the same house he bought in the 1970s for $22,000.
I'd like him even more.
Yeah, and you know, he won't sit down and have a corned beef sandwich with you in Cleveland because he's a vegetarian.
Yeah, I know.
That's okay by me.
Fine by me. I like falafel.
Yeah, we got a big meat eater in the White House.
Yeah, he is.
I love to roast me a pig, occasionally a goat or an opossum. You know, and it doesn't seem to be making making a difference in American foreign policy. What you get out of the mainstream media is as soon as they see during 2004, Albert, it was, well, you know, he's a bachelor.
Yeah.
A bachelor. And they did things where they had, you know, get Dennis a date. They did that to him on Good Morning America or some such. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's gone. And not only is it gone, it's gone out of the park because he married a woman who is stunningly beautiful and even more stunningly intelligent.
Indeed, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like Agnes with a British accent. Okay, you know, another redhead. Me and Dennis, we got a failing for redheads.
That's right. Wow.
But no, so that was gone. So now they have. Well, you know, he's not very tall. You know, and then there's John Edwards. Yeah, they call him the Brett girl. Did you know John Edwards spent $400 on a haircut? By the way, Dennis Kucinich doesn't have a very good haircut. So you're damned if you spend the money on the haircut, and you're damned if you don't.
And that's the whole twist. I mean, you know, the people that will sit there and talk about it. I mean, I'm talking about the people. You know, like, who really cares about that issue?
George Bush's haircut has not done much for the American people.
And how much has George Bush's haircuts cost?
It's part of the White House budget, for the love of God. They've got an on-staff stylist.
Exactly. Isn't that part of the whole package? I thought that was part of the package. It's personal. I mean, do we care about how much his suits are?
Well, I've walked by the place of the guy who makes his suits. He's like, you know, Mr. Francois or something, who hand-tailors the suits. This was the guy who put out the excuse of, no, there wasn't a box under George's suit. That was the way I cut it. This guy charges $10,000 for a bespoke damn suit, and he can't keep it from humping up in the back.
Right.
Right.
About multiple times for multiple different jackets.
And multiple different angles.
And that's the thing. I mean, we all know what... I mean, you know in your heart what George Bush represents, and everyone listening to this knows what George Bush represents. Anybody who pays attention understands what interests the guy represents, what family bloodlines the guy represents, what direction that you're trying to take us in terms of, you know, what all this represents. So when you're sitting there, and the very same people that handled George Bush are starting to tell you about Hillary Clinton, and they talk about Barack Obama, and they'll talk about, you know, all this other stuff, hello? I mean, just like I was thinking a lot about what you said last time about how they're just going to pin, you know, the Iraq being a big failure on the next Democratic president. And, you know, I think that rings so true because the entire time when this whole mess started, it's like, well, you know that this is going to be a failure. You know it's going to be an absolute catastrophe. They're going to blame it on the next president. You know that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And when you said that to me, it just kind of opened that screen door a little bit, and it just...
The breeze just blew in, and so, yeah.
But the thing is, Bob, is like, we need people to listen to you. I mean, like, they need to start listening to you, because you got to sit there, and I guess, I don't know, you got to get out there and just be on TV or something, because
I need an agent. I need an agent and personal trainer.
We need an agent. We need to represent you. 4% sound okay?
Yeah, 10. 10 standard commission.
But that's the whole thing. I mean, that kind of branches up about what you're talking. 80 grand a year, right?
Yeah.
Well, 80, yeah. What's his name can't survive? Tony Snow can't survive on 180 grand a year.
No kidding.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I wonder if that's because he can't afford his copays.
You have seen Sicko, right? Michael Moore's Sicko.
No, to be honest, only parts of it.
Oh,
dude, I can't go to the movies.
Well, I'll send it to you.
I don't know how Michael would feel about that.
I have seen it, so.
Yeah. But I know what you're talking about. It's incredibly frustrating. And yeah, you know what? At the risk of sounding like an egomaniac, Dennis does need people out there like me. Dennis needs people like me. Dennis needs people like John Fox. Dennis needs to take an organizational look at how to get the message out. You can either sit there and rely on the lamestream media and keep getting questions about your haircut and your height, or you can bare your damn teeth back and come out and chew some flesh. And I mean that without regard to the vegetarian issue.
Well, but still, he needs to make enough noise that, because his message is, I mean, people are responsive to it. I mean, when he talks, he won the debate, but he only got like 3 minutes, 57 seconds to speak.
I know.
You know, so I mean, when we're sitting here listening, I mean, I do think, you know, like, just like back in the day in Russia, how people were good at reading between the lines of the propaganda, and they knew what was lies, and they knew what was really happening because they knew how to read. And I really do think that that's an inherent part of the human psyche. I mean, we're sitting here looking at, you know, us as an animal that has developed over 3 million years or so, or 10,000 years, however you want to look at it. You know, we have all these little body, the way we talk, the way we hold ourselves, all those kinds of things relay pieces of communication about ourselves. So we are good now, and I think it's just an inherent ability. I don't think the Russians are special at reading between the lines. I think it's just human nature, and that's why I think
And it's especially it's human nature, Albert. It's particularly human nature when the people who are having to do the reading between the lines have to do the reading between the lines because they know they are not getting anything even vaguely approximating the truth. Do you see how important that is? You only have to read between the lines when you know you're being lied to in the first place.
And that's kind of, I think, my point. I think more and more people are starting to wake up to that fact. They're really starting to see that, you know, what they're consuming is hollow and empty, and it's not cutting it anymore.
You know,
that's why I do believe that. You know, I mean,
you know,
right now, Denis Kucinich has three times the support he does that he'd had during the last election time. At least he has to. I mean, it's almost, you know, you don't hear about him as much, but when you do talk to people face to face, a lot of people say, oh, you know, I like that Denis Kucinich guy. Yeah. Or, you know, that Denis Kucinich guy, he's got some good ideas.
He makes sense.
And I think that's kind of where it all starts from. I mean, to me, that's a real grassroots person.
Well, you know, from time to time, Albert, you'll hear the word meritocracy bandied about in talking about the way America is supposed to work. If there is a meritocracy in this country, then doesn't the guy who was right all along deserve a shot?
Yeah, exactly. The guy, you know, the one who's electable is the one who has the ideas and the one who has the vision. You know, and that's what we need. We need somebody who can sit there and, you know, not be. We don't need another bully.
But if you want to know why ABC News pulled the dummied up this informal poll, it's an informal poll. It didn't matter. It wasn't scientific. It wasn't like it was. But they had to dummy it up. And you know why? Because a call went out. Because ABC and Disney are probably heavily invested in Aetna or Kaiser Permanente or Snake Farm or Allsnake or, you know, one of these humongous insurance outfits. And somebody at the insurance company picked up the phone and said, "Fix it."
Well, hey, you want to find out if that's true or not? There's a really great website to go to. It's called theyrule.net. Just type in theyrule.net. Pick a corporation, any corporation. It'll bring up its board of directors. I believe it's pretty current. And that board of directors pans out. You click on that each individual person, and you get to see what other boards they're on. So if you really want to find out in terms of why ABC would pull something like that besides the obvious, and you want to get the actual names of the people that did it, theyrule.net.
Hey, you want to be a journalist? You want to make a story out of that? You want to post it on the blog at Head On Radio Network, Albert? You're free to do that.
Certainly. All right. Certainly.
You know, and trace the lines in the spider web. You know, you said something a minute ago, though, that just grabbed me, not because, you know, you said, you know, we got to get you out there. You know what? If I was asked, and if expenses were covered in a minute, I would take this program to Iowa, to South Carolina, wherever. And I would sit there and spend my days banging on doors, or making stump speeches, or appearing on radio shows, or television shows, or what have you, and do my show in the evening. Because this country out. I'm sorry. I don't see. I don't. You know, it's tough for me to say. Whoever the Democratic nominee is will get my vote because I don't believe in this BS about it's got to get worse to get better. Because I know what getting worse means to Americans. It means Americans getting thrown out of their homes. It means things that are happening in America that haven't happened since the Depression, and we just about didn't get out of the Depression. Might not have if it hadn't been for World War II. Okay, so I'm not willing to buy into the I'm going to make it worse by voting for Rudy Giuliani or President Dog on the Car or who the hell ever. I'm going to vote for the Democratic nominee.
Okay.
But I'm going to work my ass off to see to it that Democratic nominee is Denis Kucinich. And I'm tired of people, he can't win. You know what? He can't win as long as people are out there, even people who support him, say he can't win. He can win if we have the motives and the will to make him win.
Exactly. He can win. He just needs votes, and he has that. He has massive support. And what we need is we need the Hillary heads and the Barack Obama bots and all these other people that are just, you know, they just DLCers that Bob, you know this. I hope maybe if I'm wrong, correct me, please do. But I'm under the impression that the vast majority of the population of the United States of America doesn't vote. And one of those reasons is because they think, just in a broad brush, the whole system's BS, it doesn't help them, it doesn't do anything, and no matter what they do, nothing changes. That goes from young people to old people. It doesn't matter what color you are, because it just happens to be the poorest of the poor, and the majority of us are the poor. You know, I don't care what they talk about this country being the richest country in the world and so on and so forth. Only the 0.5% controls 80% of the resources or the wealth, the monetary wealth in this country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the vast majority of America is poor. And paycheck to paycheck and this and that, and they don't even really concern themselves with politics. Now, to me...
They can't afford to, Albert.
Huh? They can't afford to. Exactly. Well, they can't afford to in a number of reasons, because they have a job that's junk, that they hate, that they can't speak up, because if they speak up, they're out, because there's plenty of other people that'll take a manufacturing
There's a whole bunch of America that gets out of bed every morning, and it's everything that they can do not to get a gun or a knife and just end it. Okay? And so they don't end it. And they get up and they go to work and they get, you know, they get talked trash to by their neighbors or somebody. I wanted 30 weight, not 40 weight. Damn it. What are you, dumb? You know, and they put up with that kind of crap all day long. They come home and then they find out, you know, that baby has the flu, or I'm sorry, football season starts tomorrow and I know that we're busted, but you need to go out and, honey, you need to write a hot check to buy the boys some cleats. Okay? I know how that works. I understand that. And that is a whole bunch of America. And you pray that the check hits your bank account before the check for the cleats hits your bank account. Because if it doesn't, then, you know, you're into $30 going both directions, and your $50 pair of cleats turns into $150. And that means that you can't make the insurance payment this month. Okay? And so at the end of that day, maybe daddy sits down in the easy chair with the pumpkins sitting beside him, and maybe if they've got a semi-decent home life or whatever, his loving wife will crack him a beer and bring it to him, or maybe she'll pour herself a glass of wine, and they sit there and they have a glass of wine and a beer at the end of the day, and the kids are doing their homework or coloring or, you know, whatever, and, you know, they don't have time to sit down and watch the news, for Christ's sakes. If they watch the news, they won't make it till the morning. They'll get the gun now, Albert.
Well, I think that's why we hear what we hear on the news. That's why we hear about Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton, and they'll scrub Dennis Kucinich's name right off. And that's why we hear that kind of stuff, because it's my firm belief that, and those are the same people, right, Bob? And this is my point. Those same people that have that, a large portion of them don't even bother to vote. They're the kind of people I've been one of those people, so I know. And it's like, oh, today was election day? Oh, man, I forgot. Well, I'll get it next time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how and that's because it doesn't take a precedence in their life, because they don't believe that it's going to change anything. And that's why we need Dennis Kucinich, and that's why we need those people to hear his message. Because once he hears those messages, then I think you'll see a real revolution in the democratic system. You'll actually see, I'm telling you, you know the benefits of... If Kucinich is elected, the benefits that he will try, I mean, the things he will try to overturn, in a sense, if he's elected, we'll really get to see the true face of all these people that are Democratic senators, Democratic congressmen. We'll really get to see who they really are. Because you know he's going to abolish the Patriot Act. You know he's going to try to do all these things. And so when he gets that support, if he gets that kind of support, hey, maybe they really are real American. Maybe they really do care about this country. They do care about the working class person. You know, reverse NAFTA, put some tariffs up there. You know, start actually, you know, penalizing China and the corporate... I mean,
for poisoning our kids. For poisoning our kids. You know,
but hold on a minute. It's not really China, Bob. Who's, you know...
It's us for not paying attention.
It's us. That's our corporations out there doing that. That's us sitting out there...
that was Mattel, okay? You're right, Albert. That was Mattel. Mattel said, okay, use the lead paint, and then Mattel got caught.
Exactly. So what Mattel, I mean, if you actually think about it, if you want to sit here and treat, you know, all people are created equal, right? That's how I believe. And now if a corporation...
The little dude in Longdong Province does not get to choose the paint. He's too busy being chained to the damn table.
And that's the thing. We have standards, and that's why, you know, they don't want to pay them wages. And that's why, and that's a lot, a large part of the, this entire Chinese, this entire subject, right, is a big symposium of why this stock market is hyperinflated. This
I don't want to be taken in my remarks for thinking I'm somehow anti-Chinese, because I'm pro-human.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, I'm sick to death of people who identify themselves as this tribe or that tribe or this clan or that clan. I'm Jewish, I'm Scottish, I'm French, I'm a Viking, I'm a Polynesian, I rode the Kon-Tiki, I'm Chinese, Japanese, Arabic, Asian.
American.
BS on all of that. I am human.
Human being. Amen.
And you know, and that's just the way I am. I guess that makes me an internationalist globalist or something. No, it makes me a human.
Exactly.
But to get to what you said a few minutes ago, I want to go once in my life. Once in my life, I want to go into a voting booth and poke or check mark or X or touch screen or I hope not, or optical scan, whatever. I want to vote for one person in my life that I don't feel like I'm voting for somebody who is an asshole.
There you go.
And that is the feeling I get. I vote for Dennis Kucinich. I know I haven't voted for an asshole.
There you go.
That's, you know what,
right,
I mean?
You know, you voted in the best interests of everyone. You know,
exactly.
It's not just us. I mean, it's not just, you know, the fact that it's just, you know, America, and it is just America. But at the same time, it's like, what is the idea? What are we over in Iraq for? To make the world a better place? Well, we can't make a world a better place by killing and bombing. We got to make the world a better place by, you know, holding ourselves to the highest ideals that this country is. It is. I mean, that's the thing we love about this country is our ideals, our speech, our this, our freedoms. Okay. Well, if we got to go out there and, you know, like, freedoms are in love, and, like, that's the kind of thing. It doesn't need a gun. It doesn't need bullets. It doesn't need bombs. It doesn't need tanks and aircraft carriers and submarines. It doesn't need that kind of stuff because love can just dissolve boundaries. You know, I mean, if we're taking care of Chinese the way we take care of us, like, if we didn't even let anybody use lead paint, you know, I think that kind of stuff would go a long way. If we lead by example, we will get what we deserve. And that's exactly what I think. This is why we are. You know, people don't care. Oh, I want my, you know, I want to have, you know, 6 feet of presence, 20 feet around the tree, and blah, 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 and I can't afford it if it's made in America. And that's one of our big, big problems, I think. We want everything cheap. We want everything.
Yeah, but I got it. Well, that reminds me. I got to get Adam Neiman from NoSweat.com back on here because, you know, they make stuff in America, and it's every bit price competitive with anything you buy anywhere else in this country, and it's a whole lot less expensive than some polo shirt with a polo pony on it that was made by some sweatshop worker in Kuala Lumpur.
Mm.
You know, so, to a certain extent, we buy into a myth there when we say that, you know, you can't buy American because American's too expensive. No, it's not. That's an outright lie.
You're absolutely right.
You know, the $95 that you pay in a mainline department store for a polo, you know, by Ralph Lauren with the little embroidered fellow, that thing is $95 and cost on it is less than $5.
Oh, without a doubt. But the other thing about this, Bob, that I just kind of want to, you know, maybe educate people that they haven't known or they don't understand or maybe they never even thought about it, is even if you do buy something local, okay, something made in this country or what have you, and if it is a couple bucks, $2-3 more, that money is actually far better spent. It's actually cheaper to do that.
That money is doing more work.
Exactly, and it's keeping the money in the community, and it's actually, you know, it's doing good for your neighbors. Now, the better off your neighbors are, the better off usually you should be.
Yeah,
you know, yeah, you might not.
The same argument applies here when we talk about when the right wingers come out in West Virginia trying to beat down West Virginia's prevailing wage law. You know what? West Virginians who make prevailing wage make West Virginia neighborhoods better places to be. Because that union tradesman who's getting prevailing wage on a state building project is able to buy TVs and computers and gaming systems, and, you know, in some instances it's a traditional American family where if she chooses to do so, the wife gets to stay home, raise the kids, go to PTA meetings, and do all that American stuff. And yet every time the legislature meets, the building trades have to sit there and beat the barbarians back from the gates. You know, people making decent wages, even if you're paying a couple of dollars more, people making decent wages in your community, put those couple of dollars to work, and it makes for a better place to live.
Exactly. It puts more money in everyone's pocket.
And for the life of me, I can't figure out why even Republicans. I mean, this is so simple a Republican could understand.
You would think.
But there are none so blind as those who will not see.
Yeah. No doubt about that. But you know, that's. I think a lot of it stems from the ringleaders of the Republican, you know, mob. They're rich. They can't afford to. You know, it benefits them. You know, and then it's the water carriers that it doesn't benefit, and they vote against their own interests, and they don't. You know, they don't actually sit here and really comprehend what they're actually talking about when they're saying, "Yeah, well, no, we want to be a right to work state."
Oh,
no, you don't.
Yeah, don't
you
get me started.
You definitely don't want to be a right-to-work state.
No, you don't. Hey, Albert, I'm going to run along and take another call here, but I sure have enjoyed it, my friend.
Always, Bob. You have a great weekend.
All right, you take care. Weekend? We haven't gotten there yet. It's Tuesday, dude.
My kids are...
Are you on the rerun stream?
Yeah, we got a zoo to go to. We're going to take them to a bunch of stuff.
Hey, have fun, man.
Kind of starting now.
Have fun.
All right.
Talk to you later. Bye. And David is with us, calling from Maine. Hey, David.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing okay, I think.
Yeah, I was listening to you talk about this, and again, it goes back to, the free market cultists, they have really, really screwed up this whole entire world.
Yes.
With their philosophy that has run rampant on everything. And, you know, the first thing we should have said was say, you know what? You're endangering life. This is malicious practice. We should have been like this, Bob. We should have gone hard like this. If you do this again, you're getting arrested, sir, because you're killing people.
Right.
But we didn't do that. We just said, well, it's okay, because we can all get along. Well, if you're killing people, how do you get along with that? If you're making people suffer, I mean, this... And then we just let all of these researchers run rampant and viral through all of these think tanks and institutions. My God, we had no accountability. That's what makes me different, I think, in the respect that I would go hard at someone in terms of I wouldn't have that leeway. I wouldn't have that respect like, "Oh, I believe your philosophy." I would look at it and I'd be like, "You know what? This looks to me like malicious practice. Get the hell out of here."
And
that's what I'd be like.
Oh, I understand completely because, you know, again, I mentioned it with Albert. I am concerned that people not think that I'm some sort of anti-Chinese person, that I'm somehow bigoted against the Chinese. I'm not. I'm not
I know,
at all.
But see, that's what they do. See, this we all know that this is a scapegoat issue. Like, they want us to, or a talking points issue. They want us to run this completely. Over and over and over again. I really don't know how dangerous Chinese products are. I'm just reading from sources, and this is poison, and this is poison, and that is poison. I don't hear any of the witnesses. I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just saying they could say anything at this point.
I know.
Oh, the tops, they're poisonous. The yo-yos, they're poisonous. Don't take the yo-yos.
Yeah, and flammable pajamas. And then I was in the chat room producing Mark's program a little bit ago, and somebody mentioned that I guess Chinese electric blankets are exploding now.
You see, Bob, the problem with this is when you talk to somebody who believes in what about the business? This is their mindset. This is how detrimented it's become. What about the business? This is what they say. Then when you start to talk about it, this is what happens, people. This is why we can't get anywhere, progress or momentum. I don't want to think about that. That's not my concern. It's not your concern. It's going to affect you someday. It's coming up. It's creeping up around you.
Well, that couple that I was talking about with Albert, you know, that's why they watch Entertainment Tonight instead of the news.
Oh, you know, Bob, that's another thing. Celebrity media... Oversaturation. I would outlaw this crap because I think it's extremely poisonous when you have.
Yeah, but David, when you say outlaw, you're running down a pretty slippery slope there. I don't want a government censor sitting there telling somebody that they've run too much Paris Hilton.
No, I wouldn't say I wouldn't do that. But what I would do is I would put restrictions on. You know, I would definitely put restrictions on how much time celebrities can get.
Or perhaps define celebrities as not being news.
Remember when the Michael Jackson thing hit?
No, which Michael Jackson thing?
Yeah. Yes. It's like over and over and over again, a new court case, days after days. See, that right there, to me, that should be illegal when it comes to news. Because I know a lot of people, they were not interested in this. They were flipping channels. This was obviously a stupid distraction.
You couldn't get away from it. You couldn't get away from OJ. You couldn't get away from Paris Hilton. You can't get away from Lindsay Lohan. But, you know, again, please understand, that doesn't mean it's just celebrity news. Do you remember what the big news stories were? And it's so easy to forget this stuff. Do you remember what the big news stories were?
Holloway.
No, right before 9/11, do you remember what the big news stories were? People being bitten by sharks at the beach.
Oh, yeah, the shark thing, yeah.
And every day it was a new shark story.
Yeah, Matt Drudge, he likes to do this killer squirrel story from time to time. I mean, it's like, Jesus, give me a break. Is this really what we've become? And, you know,
Want to ask a question about why the American people have the attention span of that squirrel you just mentioned, you can take a look at the news. The news is delivered, and under the best of circumstances, everywhere short of maybe the news hour on PBS, or whatever goes on the Morning Edition or Afternoon Report or whatever NPR does, a news package is generally 1 minute and 28 seconds long. Okay? Whether it's a local newscast or an evening nightly news thing, maybe it's two. Maybe at the outside it's 3 minutes. Quick math. That's 3 minutes. Boy, that sounds like a lot of time. No, that's 180 seconds. 180 seconds to explain what could potentially be some rather complicated policy. God knows, trying to do economics in 180 seconds is nigh impossible. Therefore, it's easy for the news outlets, the news organizations, to just take the path of least resistance and not do it at all and do the Lindsay Lohan story instead.
Yeah, and you know eventually what's going to happen to a lot of these people in the media is they're going to be seen as dissidents if they're not toeing the line of, say the evangelicals. They finally get right into... They get the Lord of the Rings, so to speak, right on their finger. You think they're going to put up with a lot of these people on the air? They're going to be like, no, we can't have that about that talk, that sexuality talk. No, no, no.
Well, you're absolutely right in that regard, David, because the other side, the fundies, the evangelicals, would actually, because they've got foundations and think tanks that already do it. One of them comes to mind, L. Brent Bozo III. And then there's, we had him on the show, Bob Peters. You remember Bob Peters? the cop sticks his head in at the barbershop and says, Bob Peters here, and the barbershop looks up and says, nah, just cut hair. But we had Bob Peters from Morality in Media on the program.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
And
these people sit
around and get paid $150,000, $500,000 a year, whatever, have these huge monumental right-wing budgets because they're think tanks and they are freely funded by the right, and they sit around and count seconds of boobies. Okay, and they put out reports. There were 5 minutes and 28 seconds of Lindsay Lohan's breasts. This is corrupting America. And
right, at the same time, they're looking at the magazine with Lindsay Lohan under the desk.
You're damn right they are.
I mean, and to me, again, it goes. You know, the thing with all of these news networks and everything. To me, there's a great article in op-ed by Anthony DiMaggio. At Information Clearinghouse, it's called Iraq, Iran, and the Vanishing Context in American News.
Wow.
And he quotes George Carlin in the second paragraph, the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own and control the corporations They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls, the judges, and they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all the news and information you get to hear. They spend billions every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everyone else. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people. That's against their interests. They want obedient workers. And, you know, Carlin, he was ahead of his time in terms of all of the pundits. I mean, he was saying this for years and years. You know this bit. You know, you've heard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no, I know my, yes.
Yes, I mean, and you know, I mean, and even Bill Hicks, he was telling us this, and you know, to me, when I disagree with Carlin in one respect, Bob, this is what I disagree with. All of what he just said, I would put dot 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 yet. They don't own you yet. What I mean is, we have head on radio, we have, you know, discussion and dialogue taking place. And let's not forget that it only takes a few to start a momentum of a movement.
And that's, you know, that's where the listeners come in with this, David.
Right.
I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm not going to say anything that's not true here. I guess, you know, something Albert mentioned, if I had oodles of money, and this is not a pitch for donations, we are where we are on the donations for August, and if we make it to where we're supposed to be, that's cool. If we don't, that's what happened. But no, if I was sitting around and I had a bunch of money, I would go out and I would hire a publicist. Not because I'm an egomaniac, but because it's how we will build listenership. It's how we'll build participation. It's how we will build people actually paying attention to news stories again, instead of paying attention to Katie Couric giving an open forum to Rush freaking Limbaugh, okay? That's how we'll do it. And, you know, by making me or Mark or somebody go on TV shows against right-wing goober heads and, you know, and deal with them. And at least point out that there's a place that you can come to and have fair and open dialogue. That's how you do it. And listeners to the horn, putting a signature. Lots of our listeners have made signature lines that link to the horn. For all their emails. If they're sending out happy birthday to the little niece, it's still the signature line on their email. Building audience. You know, the David Swanson over at afterdowningstreet.org, bless his heart for putting the standalone player on all the pages there at After Downing Street. Our buddies at WD40.com who started that trend, Clyde and Wally and Dookie, you know, the minute that WD40.com loads, there is a standalone player. You click it and bang, you're listening to the horn.
So Bob, is the funding coming along?
We're at halfway. We're 10 days from the end of August, and we're at $1,000.
Well, I'll tell you how twisted my mind is. This is where I'm at, Bob. This is what I'm really thinking about. I was thinking, what if people in the progressive media started like cloak organizations for getting right wing money, right? You have a right wing front group.
You know, it's so funny you would mention that because I was.
I would do that, Bob. I'm at that level right now. I would do that because I see all the money that there's a good.
David, you're actually behind my curve because Agnes looked at me and said, "You're crazier than you looked the other night," talking about me, not you. Because I said, "You know what I could do? I could go out and become an evangelist. I could be a radio evangelist, and I could take in all kinds of right-wing fundy money by talking right-wing fundy religion, and we could use it to fund the horn." And she said, "That's just wrong."
Do you know this is how bad and sad it is, Bob? We could literally do satire. We could hire Finnerman. We could hire all these people, and then we'd have these right-wingers go, "Woo, what you just said made a lot of sense. I'm going to be clicking the button for you." People think I'm joking, but I'm not.
No, I know you're not. I know you're not.
Look what happened with Stephen Colbert. Look at all the people that come on there. The crazies.
Yeah.
They come on there. The right-wing crazies, the people that come on The Daily Show, they don't get it. They think they're just. They think that their entertainers and their point of view is
the White House.
Solid.
The White House hired Stephen Colbert to do the Correspondents' Association. How much more they don't get it can you get than that?
Oh, and speaking of that, Bob, how surreal was it to see David Gregory guesting? Well, this isn't a coincidence. I believe in all conspiracies, baby. David Gregory guesting, grilling Karl Rove when just 4 months ago, what were they doing? They were on stage rapping together.
I know. Yeah, this is, I keep going back to that great line, Richard Dreyfuss from Jaws, you know, this is not a boating accident. This is not a boating accident. It's not accidental that David Gregory stands up and raps with MC Rove and then tries to do a serious interview with him in which he does for Rove what, you know, Monica did for Bill. Yeah, no doubt about it.
I tell you, Bob, I mean, one last thing before I go. There's a, I'll have to mention it tomorrow, but there's a good article on anti-war which talks about the funding, and it goes into the point exactly what we say about how much right-wing, the right-wing funding, what you talked about earlier last week, how much the right-wing funding is pulling in. And, you know, I know people are going to laugh at me, but I'm going to say I'm this close to starting a cloaking organization, people. I could get the people on the web to set it up, and I bet you.
Will there be Romulans involved with your cloaking device?
Romulans.
I'm sorry, that was the obligatory Star Trek reference for the night.
I thought you said Romulus from...
No, Romulans. Romulans, the Star Trek characters whose the only part of which you ever see are their rear end as they're running away after they've stabbed somebody in the back. Yeah, those Romulans.
But one last thing before I go, because I know you're short for time.
Yeah.
Bob, just remember, if you eat the Brood Witch, you can leave the sun-dried tomatoes.
Yes.
That's an Aqua Teen reference.
I know.
For all the people, download the episode Brood Witch, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Jesus, David.
Don't eat the sun-dried tomatoes. You'll be all right, people.
You're the voice of Shake, aren't you? All this time, and I didn't know I was talking to you. You're the voice of Shake. David, have yourself a good night, brother.
All right, later, Bob.
Bye now.
Peace.
Now, see, I'll tell you a little secret. And I think I upset Agnes by even mentioning this conversation that we had. Did I upset you, dear, by talking about setting myself up as an evangelist to support the horn? Okay, she's going to talk now.
I did not marry a preacher.
Oh, but you did.
No, I didn't. I enjoy listening to you, and I know that other people enjoy listening to you, too. But I don't feel that ministering in that respect is on the up and up.
Nobody ever said it was going to be on the up and up. It would be an outright fraud.
Well, I don't believe in fraud.
Oh, dear. You were not born to live in this world, were you?
No, that's exactly something that I'm against, and I hold everyone to the same accountability that I hold myself. And I don't want to be married to an evangelical minister.
You know what?
Just remember, that woman just got out of prison for that.
You know what?
What?
You're no fun.
You're right. I am no fun. I am so white bread.
I know.
Yeah, I love you too, sweetheart. You're number one in my book.
You're number one in my book with both hands, dear. I've had these ideas banging around in my head. I'll tell you about another one. I'm getting a chat, a comment, and do it, Brother Bob Libertarian Gospel Hour. Oh, wouldn't that be rich? Wait, Agnes, please.
You could go the Ayn Rand vehicle.
Don't open the Ayn Rand cesspool.
Yeah, just didn't want to play, did you, Bob?
Well, anyway. No, I've got this other idea banging around, and, you know, because we're worrying about making the network go, I know that this is impossible, but it certainly is part of the stuff that makes my life fun, because I can at least sit around and think about things. It's kind of like when you sit around and think about winning the lottery. You know how fond I am of the American Family Association and the Reverend Donald Wildman, right? And you know that my hero in life is Mark Twain. Well, in the late 1860s, early 1870s, Mark Twain was pretty much of a nobody. Until he signed on to take a tour by steamship of the so-called Holy Land in the company of a bunch of pious, self-righteous SOBs from the U.S., and they toured the Holy Land, so to speak, and he wrote about his experiences, and it came out in a book called The Innocents Abroad. You can read it online. It's brilliant. And it made Mark Twain. Well, flash forward 140-some-odd years, and in March of 2008, a tour will leave from Atlanta under the tutelage of the son of the Reverend Donald Wildman, and they will go and tour the Holy Land. Fundy's touring the Holy Land. And I saw that, and worlds opened up before me. And I got to thinking, given the time differential, I could even get up in the middle of the night and do my show. As long as they didn't know. And I could, and even with the, you know, I could tell them, you know, I was Brother Bob Kincaid from the First Apostolic Temple of Holiness and Herpetological Park in the wilds of wild, wonderful West Virginia, and do, and you know, catch them speak and get them on tape speaking in tongues and rolling around in the River Jordan and breaking into spontaneous prayer and crying out to Jesus at the tomb of the Holy Sepulchre, whichever one they chose to go to, and getting their feet wet in the Sea of Galilee and rubbing the mud on their faces because Pat Robertson was selling them some and they thought they'd get some on the skinny and eliminate the middleman. Do all of that. Lordy. Take video. Shoot video while we're there. Maybe get Max Blumenthal and Thomas Shoemaker to give me a little bit of teaching about how to build the video. And man, oh man, wouldn't we have something. Wouldn't that be a kicker? Wouldn't that be a... What's the Dean Martin song? Ain't that a kick in the pants? Oh, Lordy. And just be completely... just insinuate myself completely into their little movement because I know how to speak the language. I know how to do the praying. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. But it ain't going to happen because it's like $3,000 to do it, and you got to put a deposit down by December, and you got to pay up the $3,000 before you can get on the plane in Atlanta. And we got to pay the bills to keep this going. Unless I could find somebody, the Progressive, the Nation, you know, that would be willing to sponsor me, and then, you know, wow. Because that's how you get that kind of ball rolling. Agnes is looking at me, and if looks could kill, I'd go away in a basket right now. She says we're taking a break. I have a feeling I've it's one of those we got to talk moments, which means that she's got to talk and I've got to listen. This is America's liberal voice. Jump right in. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Dad and Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to.
I thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing as school.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves that he's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
And a half minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. This is The Horn. And I'm awfully glad you joined me this evening, this afternoon, or this morning, depending on where in the world you are. No, the skinny on the poison clothes coming from China, it was discovered by New Zealand. And it's with regard to dangerous levels of formaldehyde in the clothing. Formaldehyde, 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 formaldehyde. Where have I heard about formaldehyde before? Wait a minute, I know. 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Washington Post story that people living in the FEMA trailer concentration camps along the Gulf Coast are getting sick from the toxic levels of formaldehyde in the trailers. Why? Because formaldehyde preserves fabric from things like mildew every bit as it does, as well as it preserves that big old bass you caught last week. The problem is it's also kind of flammable, so I hear. And it's been discovered in clothing coming from China at levels up to 900 times that which is regarded as safe, at least in New Zealand. It can cause skin rashes, irritation of the eyes and throat, and allergic reactions. If you've ever gone looking at a brand new RV, and you go in there and you come out and your eyes are burning like they're about to bleed out of their sockets, that's formaldehyde. And it burns. not just your skin, but if you put a match to it, you know, flame-retardant children's pajamas. Like I said, the Johnny Flame pajamas. And, you know, this isn't coming from some... This is from the Financial Times of London that's reporting this. And the Chinese are having a sure enough hissy. Because they're saying that it constitutes... the complaints about it constitute veiled protectionism or some such. Here we go. The latest concerns came as Li Changjiang, head of China's safety watchdog, claimed the product safety scares were, quote, a new trend of trade protectionism, and accused some governments of demonizing China's products. No, Mr. Changjiang. We're not demonizing your products. We're demonizing the poison in your products. But Albert is correct, too. Mattel is the maker of record of the lead paint toys. Okay? It is Mattel's problem. It is Mattel's problem because Mattel made a conscious decision that workers in China being cheaper and chained to their tables and eating a diet probably one-third of that of American workers were a better investment based on pure principles of capitalism as they understood it than American workers are. Now, meanwhile, if you pay American workers to make the toys for Mattel and it goes out into the stream of commerce inside the United States, the people who are making the toys for Mattel can afford to buy the toys that Mattel makes. This is not that far different from one of the original determinations by Henry Ford that caused him to not invent the automobile, because nobody, I guess Republicans might still think that Henry Ford invented the automobile. We all know it was a German man. Was it Mr. Daimler? Daimler? But anyway, Henry Ford revolutionized the assembly line. Because he realized that if he could cut cost and standardize the production process, he had to make it possible for the people working in his plant to be able to afford to buy the cars that were rolling out of his plant. Because everything else would be so bass-ackwards as to make it unprofitable. Now, bear in mind, the people working in the Mattel factory spraying the lead paint on Elmo in China can't afford to buy Elmo. They simply can't. For one, their children, since China has next to no labor laws, their children go to work as soon as they are humanly able to do so, so they don't have time to play with Elmo. Right? Yeah. And even if they had time to play with it, mommy or daddy on a month's wages probably could not afford to buy Elmo in China if it was allowed to be sold there. This is the failure of the bastardization of capitalism. I'm not gooning on capitalism here. I'm gooning on the looter capitalism, the crony capitalism that it has been transformed into. Capitalism has problems, but capitalism is an economic theory, not a political one. I hate it when I hear, coming from either the left or the right, somebody saying, I'm a good American, I'm a capitalist. Jesus, it's not politics, it's economics. You can have capitalism in a monarchy. You can have capitalism in an oligarchy. You can have capitalism in fascism. Because it's an economic theory, not a political one. I don't know why that's so daggum hard to understand. And I don't know why one has to equate capitalism with having a reverence for the Constitution, because the two have about as much to do with one another as a hog does with a Sunday suit. On the other hand, if you want to talk about the differences between, because my eyes will roll back in my head, you'll get bored, you'll go to sleep, and all I'll see are the little icons in the chat room of some little smiley face going, sleeping, and I'm not up for that. Economists say the safety scandals have so far had limited impact on exports, in part as toys accounted for less than 1% of overall products exports last year, while foodstuffs made up 1.4%. So we're looking at 2.4% of the stream. But remember what Ann Brown said in the other story from McClatchy. She said that trying to inspect Chinese goods coming into this country for safety is like trying, what was it? It was something about gathering up sand one grain at a time or something. In other words, it would be an act of impossible futility. And she's right. Because everything coming out of China is coming out of a pure, unmitigated, just laissez-faire, screw it, make a buck on it, do it attitude. And I don't care if it's clothes. I don't care if it's foodstuffs. I don't care if it is steel. It is all shoddy. It's all garbage. And in a year and a half from now, you are going to start seeing Chinese automobiles on American roads. And about 6 months after that, you will hear stories about people dying fiery, horrible deaths in those cars. I'm really disturbed by having to do these stories because I'm afraid that I'm going to wind up sounding like Lou Dobbs bitching about Mexicans. That is not it. But at the end of the day, where does our greater responsibility lie as a nation? Does it lie to American workers? Or does it lie to some dude chained to a table in Guangdong province? Yeah, I know. I got to quit doing that. It's like a little dirty joke. I think they probably really do have a Guangdong province. And I don't want to sound like some right-winger. I don't want to, no, not at all. And, you know, there are those who would make the argument, and I've had it made it to me, that considering how the American worker has behaved in the political arena, the American worker has earned every rotten thing that has happened to him and her. The American worker in South Carolina or Tennessee or Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, whatever, who runs, not walks, but runs to the polls to vote for the right-wing family values candidate who believes that everybody deserves a right to work, and thereby votes him and herself out of a meaningful existence in the American economy by driving wages down with right-to-work laws. They have earned what has happened to them. Haven't they? Are they entitled to any sympathy? If they stand up and realize the error of their ways and that supporting Republicans because they had family values who were turning around and in turn assaulting every last bit of anything that could conceivably be referred to as a family value, haven't they earned that? You know, are you not inclined? Screw them! If you don't like what is happening with products coming into America from foreign countries because we don't have the jobs here anymore, do you not ultimately have to look at the voters who made that happen? Do you not have to look at those so-called Reagan Democrats? Do you not have to look at the ballot crossers who were afraid of, you know, that Willie Horton would get their mama if Michael Dukakis became president? Don't you have to look at those people? This didn't happen last year. And yes, I'm sure I'll get an email. Yes, Bill Clinton signed NAFTA into law. I know that. And it was passed by a Republican Congress that could have mustered the vetoes or the votes to override his veto. Mr. Clinton is also a free trader. I think Mr. Clinton's smart enough that he could be brought around to understand that it's not about free trade, it's about fair trade. and that our first obligation is to the American people. Unless you're willing to just write them the hell off, like that guy who wrote that book Whistling Past Dixie, who says we don't have to worry about progressives or liberals or Democrats in the South. That's where they live, so screw them. And Jesus, I hate that policy. I hate that theory. I hate that idea. So, you know, what do you think? What do you think? Do you just say, to hell with all of this and forget this issue, and so what if China poisons the children, so what if China poisons Fido, so what if China poisons Fluffy the cat, screw it, we did it to ourselves, we're earning it every day? Is that what we do? And then in turn, after the children have been poisoned and need to go to the hospital for treatment, and it turns out that you make $80,000 a year, but you got four kids, and that's still less than 400% of the poverty line, and you can't afford health care, and you can't go to the hospital when the baby is sick with lead poisoning, do we just say, screw it, that's what George Bush did, and that's what the conservatives and the Republicans did to us? And at that point in time, you just after the baby's sick and dying, you go out and you find the first Bush voter, and you beat the living piss out of them, and say, you know, I at least, is that how it works? Or do we work to make change? Do we take the big poop sandwich that we're handed and just hope we get enough bread to cover the taste? Or do we reject it? Do you reject it? Do you demand responsibility from your elected leaders, and from your neighbors, and from yourself? How does it work? I'm asking you. You've got a phone number, you can tell me. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on your hook, 304-658-5453. Email to bob@headonradio.com. Any way you want to try to reach this program, we try to make it as easy as possible. Go to the chat room, headonradionetwork.com, click on chat room, register, tell me there. I'm a multitasking talk host. And we'll take a break for the news, and we'll come back, and if you want to talk about it, we will. Otherwise, I'll talk about what I've got on my mind still, or what passes for a mind. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Dean has now been downgraded to a Category 1 storm after hitting Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula this morning as a powerful Category 5. Forecasters warn Dean could pick up steam again, though, as it passes over the warm Gulf waters and makes landfall again on the Mexican mainland tomorrow. A newly declassified report by the CIA's own watchdog found the agency's top leaders missed key opportunities to thwart two hijackers shortly before 9/11. The report found that both senior CIA officials and lower-ranking parties were seriously at fault. In Ottawa, Canada's Prime Minister, Mexico's President, and President Bush have agreed to design a strategy for safeguarding borders and creating a North American Union. Protesters outside the summit say the alliance makers are treading on individual rights. Russian military officials want the Czech Republic to postpone a decision to accept a U.S. radar station. Moscow views the proposed missile intercept system as a threat and told Prague it could be making, quote, a huge mistake by agreeing to it. 3 weeks before the long-awaited progress report on the war to Congress, the U.S. ambassador to Iraq has unusually strong words of criticism for the new government. Ambassador Ryan Crocker called progress on the national level in Iraq, quote, extremely disappointing and frustrating to all concerned. A third Iraqi government official has been kidnapped. The deputy minister for science and technology was abducted yesterday afternoon by gunmen wearing military uniforms. The trial of 15 former officials from the Saddam Hussein regime began today in Baghdad. They face charges of crimes against humanity for a massacre of as many as 100,000 Shiites during a 1991 uprising. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has set to rest speculation that he'll throw his hat into the 2008 presidential ring. Bloomberg said today that he cannot win and will not run. The 65-year-old billionaire fueled rumors of a campaign by traveling the country recently to push his agenda. In Minneapolis, a 13th body has been recovered from the Mississippi River Bridge collapse. Authorities say all those previously missing are now accounted for. Continued rain in Missouri, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma is adding to flooding problems and landslides there that have already claimed at least 20 lives. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
The space shuttle Endeavour touched down this afternoon in Florida, landing without incident, despite a 3.5-inch gash in its underside. Scientists say they'll have to pop off the cut tiles to see if there's any damage underneath. Researchers Monday say they have more evidence that a virus may contribute to obesity. The study shows that stem cells, when exposed to a common virus, would turn into fat cells and store additional fat. If confirmed, a vaccine could be available in the next 5 to 10 years. The number of home foreclosures last month jumped in the U.S. 97% from July last year. That's almost 180,000 foreclosures this July. A New York Times analysis says Americans' average income adjusted for inflation diminished between 2000 and 2005 for the fifth year in a row. Washington Mutual, the nation's third largest mortgage lender, announced it will write more, not fewer, mortgages. The company says it has enough of its own money to fund those mortgages. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.47 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is trading at $666.20 an ounce. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 30 points at 13,090. The Nasdaq closed up 23. And the S&P was up 2 at 1447. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Almost 8 minutes past the hour. Got through the news there. Let's see. Let me go to one topic real quick and just sort of get it off my chest. Not that it, you know, there's no cause for screaming or anything. But there is great joy and glee in the right wing this evening and for the last couple of days. And that glee stems from the fact that they get to hop up and down and hoot and holler about how liberal talk just doesn't work. That America, the American people don't want to hear that left-wing, communist, pinko, anti-American, hate America first stuff. They don't want to hear it. It ain't gonna, it can't make it in competition with the clear-eyed ideals of God-fearing America and loving right-wing radio like Rush. In this particular instance, we're talking about something called Greenstone Media. Greenstone Media. It was founded a little while back under the auspices of folks with significant name, significant image, and significant coin like Jane Fonda and Gloria Steinem and Rosie O'Donnell. And they said it was going to be, and this is a quote from them, depoliticized, depolarized talk radio by women hosts for female listeners. And that they were going to offer an alternative to the right-wing hate radio. And Ms. Steinem said that right-wing hate radio is very argumentative, quite hostile, and very much male-dominated. True, true, and true, Ms. Steinem. She also made a comment that talk radio is overbalanced toward the right. Well, that's been scientifically proven time after time after time. And you know what? I don't want anybody to get the notion that I think that there's no place in talk radio for women folk. Agnes talks some. I let her talk at least, you know, to 15 seconds a week. She's going to hit me with that skillet again. Daggummit. No, seriously, really. I'll tell you the God's honest truth. I've been accused of running a boys-only club here. And you know what? The criticism is valid. Because with the exception of Agnes the Den Mother, who makes everything go, our show lineup is as follows. John Fox, Guy. Joe Vecchio, Guy. We do the rerun of our good friend Tony Seaton's America Back on Track from QNN. Guy. Guy James. Guy. Guy Guy. Dr. Bill. Guy. Mark Levine. Guy. Me. Guy. Peter. Guy. Now, here's the other side of that coin, however. We have not been approached by, we have not been asked to develop a show by, any woman. And frankly, you know, when the right woman or women come along, that show will happen. But at this point in time, it simply hasn't happened. That is not, however, an institutional bias. On the other hand, you have Greenstone Media. Ms. Steinem, Ms. Fonda, Ms. O'Donnell, all very well-intentioned, had an idea. And into that idea, they pumped something on the order of $5 million, I'm not kidding, million dollars. There's a somebody help me here. Parrothead alert. Somebody help me. Jimmy Buffett lyric that says, same old story, more dollars than cents. And I ask you, is this another case of that? Because what happens in these business models is you go out and you hire some name or someone who's at least been in the business long enough to command a salary, and you pay some fairly high dollars, and you go out and you try to get radio stations, terrestrial radio stations, to put this material out over the airwaves. You go to right-wing radio station owners, because most radio stations are owned by right-wingers in this country by virtue of the fact that the laws were relaxed specifically for right-wingers a few years back to allow them to monopolize the public airwaves. And so it becomes from the outset it becomes an uphill battle. And it becomes an uphill battle because you're doing it backwards. You know, there's a little lesson from Mr. Kinsella's Field of Dreams book. the whole business with if you build it, they will come. But the question becomes one of build what? You've got a few million dollars. Jesus, I can't say that and not go and have my eyeballs roll back in my head. You got a few million dollars. So the first thing you want to do is go hire yourself some very expensive broadcast executives. And you take what's left over and you pay some level of some talent. I think the headline show for Greenstone Media was something they called the Radio Ritas. And way back when they launched, Agnes and I listened to a sample. And it wasn't my opinion, but Agnes heard the Radio Ritas start talking about leg warmers and sex or something. You remember that, Agnes?
Oh, I remember.
And Agnes was reaching for the imaginary rubber brick. But if you build it, they will come. But if you build what? Are we not better off utilizing what isn't already owned by the right wing? How much money does it cost to try to pay your way onto stations, to try to buy airtime from individual radio stations? Just like, you know, this isn't a viable business model. This is the business model that's engaged by Jimmy Swaggart and Oral Roberts and all the other Dobson, all these creepies who buy because they have almost unlimited sources of funds from little old ladies sending in the Social Security check. They go out and they buy time on Sunday morning on the local radio station. I've seen it happen in little market after little market after little market. And they put on a one-hour pitch for money. I mean, that's where I got my beginning in radio, was at a gospel radio station. And I worked my fair shares of Sunday mornings when the snake-handling apostolic strychnine drinker was over there in the broadcast booth screaming his fool head off with the reverb turned up to sound more godly. I know of which I speak. I don't know. Maybe someday we'll start using the effects that are on our highfalutin board, and I'll have the voice of God. But seriously, that's what that model is, and you rely every week on little old ladies to send in their Social Security checks, and you don't give a fig whether they starve or live or die. Well, you kind of hope they continue to live so that they can keep endorsing the Social Security check over to you. And you buy time with that money on individual stations. And it's a great model if that's how your money flow is happening. If that's how the cash flow is coming in, that thing works. On the other hand, if you're going to capitalize an outfit like this with $5 million plus, and you're going to go around trying to buy radio time on a daily basis, because these preachers, you know, they're only buying once a week. Jeez, I remember when one of the radio preachers over at Terrestrial Radio over in Beckley stole my damn headphones one weekend. A godly man stole my Sennheisers. To try to stay on track, because, you know, with the way my brain works, it's a challenge. You're trying to buy programming on a daily basis, and that $5 million, once you've gotten done hiring the highfalutin, well-padded resume broadcast executives and paid money for a little bit of talent, that $5 million doesn't go very far. And it's almost impossible to sell advertising in such a way as to keep up with that. That is why the Internet is so incredibly important. And that's why I'm proud of what we're doing here, because we're building audience every day. And we're building it the most important way you can build it, and that is to build a community, a body of listeners who are relying not on me, not on Mark Levine, not on Peter Godbold or Guy James or John Fox or Joe Vecchio or Dr. Bill. but who are relying on one another to trust each other and say, hey, you got to hear this. This is worth your time. And that means when you join this community, when you come in and you're part of it, whether you're just listening alone and screaming at the speakers, or whether you're calling in the programs or posting messages or blogging or in the chat room, you are an integral part of this process. And you know what? I'll tell you something. Like that's a surprise. It's the nature of this dadgum program. I'll tell you something. It's the right way to do it. It is absolutely the right way to do it. It's also the right way to develop talent. Because time after time after time, the liberal attempts at talk radio have always been centered on, hey, let's get a celebrity. Well, the celebrity always wants celebrity money. And celebrity money is not chump change. And after you pay the celebrity money, you have to try to get it on stations. And there you are, fooling around with terrestrial radio owned by a bunch of right-wing fascist bastards. There is one place that manifests genuine, honest-to-God, constitutional First Amendment freedom of speech, and you, if you are listening to this program now, are engaging it, and it's called the Internet. No FCC getting in my way. If I want to say booger, I'll say booger. And nobody, not decency in media or the Parents Television Research Council or Bob Peters or L. Brent Bozo the Turd can say a blessed thing about it. Because what is going on the horn, on the internet, by God, is freedom. And I can sit here and I can get kind of pissy and I can say that George Bush is a pig-eyed, jug-eared little lout, and I can mean it with every fiber of my being, and I can back it up and I can prove it. And not a damn soul at Viacom can say a word to me about it, or Disney. Or AT&T out there censoring, who was it, the Pearl Jam or something last week and a half? They censored a comment about George W. Bush from a song, from a rant in a song. No, we are engaged in freedom. And that is what these people keep missing. I don't know of a terrestrial liberal talk operation or attempt that is not openly hemorrhaging money. Here's a secret. So are we. We are openly hemorrhaging money. But while the other operations are hemorrhaging it at a rate of 5 and 6 digits at a pop, we're hemorrhaging it by the hundred. It may remain an open inquiry as to who hemorrhages it hardest, fastest, and who is the last person standing, but as long as there is breath in my being and any way to make this happen whatsoever, the horn will be the last operation standing. I would bet money on it. Because all we have to be is determined to get up and do it every day. And all we have to do is be determined to build and grow liberal talk talent. This is not the funding pitch. I hope you understand that. This is not what that's about. This is a discussion about what it means to create liberal media. And for all the people out there that have some impression that liberal media is equated with a blog, a static page of text that doesn't talk to you, that you can't talk back to, that there's no interchange with, guess what, friends? That ain't the liberal media. blog journalism is a valuable, integral part of it, but you've got to have a way to get it out. You've got to have a disseminator of it. You've got to have conversation about it. You've got to have dialogue and discussion about the rights and the wrongs of it. As I said sometime last week, I figured it all out. 1 hour of doing what I do or Joe or John or anybody else does equals about 20 pages of blogging. You find me one blogger out there who's doing, in the case of a 3-hour show, find me one blogger who's doing 60 pages a day. Guess what? You won't find it. This is not about my ego. This is not about my fascination with myself or my overarching desire to tout my brilliance, because that's the last thing I'll do. I hate self-promotion. It makes me feel kind of icky. But what is happening on the horn? Look, Greenstone Media has not been on air for a year, and they ran through $5 million. Let that roll around in your head for a minute. That's a 5, a comma, a 000, a comma, and 000, and a dot, and 2 more zeros. $5 million. Run through like poop through a goose in less than a year. The horn, because the horn operates on nothing but grit and hard-assed, hard-headed determination, in almost 2 years, has run through the princely sum of maybe $45,000, and every last penny of that has been dedicated to getting a program out every day. And not a program, but as much as 13 hours of live, original programming. I said I hate self-promotion. I kind of do, but you know what? I would stand up toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with any genius broadcast executive and say, hey, pissant, you do that! Because you know what? There's not one of them that would or could. If we are going to talk about liberal media in America, we have got to talk about new ways to do it. And every time one of these organizations with some celebrity front money, and Lordy, wouldn't I like to have some celebrity front money? I would so like to have some celebrity front money. But every time one of these organizations comes out with some celebrity front money and says, you know, we're going to redefine radio, and then the first thing they do is they start talking about buying time on terrestrial stations, you know that they are destined for failure. Okay? Am I wrong? Am I not getting this across adequately? I am absolutely committed to the utter necessity of countering every single minute of right-wing hate radio. And there is a way to do it, but going and playing ball by their rules in their ballpark with their balls and their bats, standing at the crap tables and throwing their damn loaded dice is not the way that it happens. It will happen here. It will happen on the internet, or it will not happen at all. And this is in no wise to in any way downplay the efforts of great terrestrial talkers like our buddy Mike Malloy or Stephanie Miller or Tom Hartman or Randy Rhodes. They are great. They are giants of their craft. And they are all, just as I am and everyone on the horn is, finite and mortal. If you are going to talk about making some level of balance in the media, you have got to have a plan in place that makes sure that when I shuffle off, or Mark shuffles off, or Joe, or John, or Guy, or Bill, or Peter, or Tom Hartman, or Mike Malloy, or Stephanie Miller, or Randy Rhodes, any of them, when we go away, for whatever reason we go, there has got to be a new generation that steps up and takes over. And that is not going to be a new generation of, for an example, Al Franken's. It is going to be people who get in behind the microphone every day and put out blood, sweat, and tears and work at it and care about it and mean it and are in it not because of the money, but because of what they see as the utter necessity of this medium being part of saving this nation. Now, I ask you, who is developing that talent? Where is that talent developing? Who has a liberal talker out there that's ready to step into national 5 million listeners a week shoes? Who's developing it? Where's the kid? Where's the pimply-faced 15-year-old who decided to go to work at the radio station for minimum wage instead of flipping burgers? Where is that kid? That kid does not exist right now, because radio station ownership in this country is concentrated in the hands of the right wing. And they are not going to build and grow and train and teach that talent. That talent will grow. That talent will be taught. That talent will be trained by a new generation that sees the internet not as something new or edgy or cutting edge or frontierish, but as the means by which they both deliver and receive information. The liberal newscasters, the progressive talkers, the talent that will change America 20 years from now is not going to change it on a terrestrial radio station. Purely and simply, I tell you this so that the next time you see a story that says, after an infusion of $5 million and running through it in less than a year, Greenstone Media has stopped broadcasting. Don't think that it has anything to do with the politics or the format or the money. It has to do with the model. And as long as these outfits continue to persist in attempting to replicate on a left-wing format a right-wing model, it will fail. Okay? Does that make sense? Does that make any sense at all to you? Why am I going on about this? Because there's every possibility in the world that, with the exception of talkers who are ensconced at individual radio stations, sometime in the next 2 or 3 years, you will see more failures. Hell, the failure you might see might be the horn. Because people cannot go on the way they have gone on here. I have told you that, you know, the goal, the monthly goal has to be $2,000. And that's what it has to be. But that's the monthly goal to keep the horn going. That's not the monthly goal to do the right thing. That's why I'm asking you, to the extent that you give money and you participate in perpetuating this network, and I am ever so grateful, but I also ask you, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, talk about it wherever you go, talk in the doctor's office about it, talk about the horn in the grocery store, because that is how we will build this medium. And as we build this medium, we'll be able to do the right thing. I had a conversation the other night with our good friend John Fox, and I was telling him what really goes on in my head when I talk about funding for this network. You know, you let me sit down and have a conversation with the likes of a Jane Fonda or a Gloria Steinem and a Rosie O'Donnell, I will tell them that I can run through a hell of a lot more money than I have already, because right now nobody's getting paid, and that includes me and Agnes. Oh, I guess you could call it pay to the extent that maybe, you know, we get a tank of gas out of it so that we can continue to go and do and run and, yeah. Okay, sure. But, you know, how many names have I ticked off there? John Fox, Joe Vecchio, Guy James, Dr. Bill, Mark Levine, Peter Godbold, me. Okay, that's the on-air people. That's seven people. Assuming seven people doing 5 days a week, are those seven people worth $1,000 a month each? Well, bang, there's $7,000 a month to raise. I'm not trying to get anybody depressed. I'm trying to show you that this can be done a hell of a lot more simply than any $5 million down a rat hole. How many millions of dollars before the bankruptcy did Air America run through? And they were doing the same thing as Greenstone. Out there trying to buy time on terrestrial radio stations and, in essence, giving money to people who hated them in the first place. Do you see the difference? I hope so. The difference is that what we're doing here has a chance. What we're doing here can succeed on nothing more than your word of mouth, your blogging, your talking, your emails, your participation, and our willingness to crawl behind a microphone and gut it out every day. You know, as a football fan, I've heard all the old football aphorisms and so forth, and they say that how you practice in August is how you will play in December. How you practice is how you play. And if you are willing to lay it out 110% and leave not a scrap on the field every blessed day of practice, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the championship game, because you took care of that way the hell back in August. Well, what goes on at the Horn is a perpetual August. It is a constant, daily, hard-assed, hard-nosed determination to bust it out and do as well as we possibly can under what we have to work with. Could it be better? Absolutely. I get snarky emails about so-and-so's phone call wasn't as good as somebody else's phone call, and why won't you people do something about the phones? Well, people have different telephony. People talk on different phones. And we engineer on the fly here. I get complaints about, you know, the fact that we use PayPal. Well, I don't have a choice. Okay? Things can be better here. We can take the thing to the next step. We can do video. And frankly, if we do video, oddly enough, the way it works out, we will build audience monumentally. Because we'll go over to Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s site, goleftv.com, and we'll post the show every day. And whoever cares to video their shows, we'll post them every blessed day. And you know what, audience? And we can do it at YouTube, and we can do it at MySpace, and yada, yada, yada. And it'll go, audience will go up like a rocket. Guess what? Can't afford to do video right now. This is not the fundraising part of the speech. This is about trying to sit down and understand why we as liberals and progressives are in the place we're in. Joe Vecchio is very, very good at pointing out how the business about how a right-winger will see a project and fund it fully and say, listen, spend money, come back when you need more, do the job, get the message out. If the same thing happens on the left, as Joe notes, they say, here's a buck and a quarter, and we need a strict accounting. And I know this has happened with other people as well as with the Horn. I've had conversations with the people it's happened to. Organizations that you would expect to fully fund liberal talk have slammed the doors in any number of faces. I know one story involving Rob Reiner. Oh, this is great, man. Oh, you're doing the great. Oh, it's wonderful, man. Oh, I'll tell you what. Let me get hold of my agent. Hey, you know, we got to set up a meeting. No, I'll call you. No call. Didn't happen to me. Happened to somebody else. Labor organization after labor organization after labor organization after labor organization, with the exception of an organization here in West Virginia. Don't get it. And I know for a fact, because you guys show up and listen, and I get your emails, and I know how many of you are, there are, that we don't suck. See, I guess this is like me on the couch for an hour or something. I'm sorry. Send me a bill, all right? I mean, this is like psychiatry for me. I'm trying to get it all out there and let you know exactly what's happening here. I know we don't suck, because I hear the commentary about the various and sundry shows as well as my own. And there is nobody harder on me than me. There is not a rotten, hard-assed, mean-assed email that could be sent to me or a comment said on the phone that would be any harder on me than I am each and every day that we run the closing music and turn the microphone off. There are some nights that I just want to sit quivering in a corner under a table somewhere sucking my thumb because I feel like I've done such a rotten job. Because I am that hard on me. And I know the rest of the people on this network are that hard on themselves too. Because for some crazy reason we have this American notion that we owe it to you, we owe it to everybody who is paying with their time to listen to this programming to do not everything we can, but everything that we might be able to do. So, forgive me, I guess everything led into this with this story about Greenstone Media, but I saw this thing this morning, and it made my hair jump around on my scalp. And yes, some of it is plain old-fashioned sour grapes jealousy, and I will tell you that it is, because it drives me crazy that people who have no business with $5 million and no idea what to do with it get it because they happen to be chums with somebody who has it. And meanwhile, you're out there working your ass off and limited incomes, limited ability, and you're sending money in to keep the lights on here. While an operation like Greenstone Media can't make it 9 months without running through $5 million. You know, we're not asking you to buy any patent baldness remedies. We're not running ads asking you to buy any herbal erection cures. We're not selling you any vacuum cleaners that'll pick up a bowling ball. I'd like to think that even if they came and knocked on my door, I'd refuse that advertising. You will not hear an advertisement on this network for call 1-800-BUY-GOLD-NOW. Gold has never been a better investment. We have a free video for you. Call 1-800-BUY-GOLD and we'll send you a free video showing you how you can get into the Krugerrand market and shore up your investment portfolio. You will not hear that here. You are not going to hear any advertisement for anything, any product that I do not know for a fact is not a fraud. Nothing will happen on this network that is an offer to you to invest your time, your money, and your health in dummied up diet pill. Okay? All of those things, the bowling ball and the vacuum cleaner and the Swedish mattresses and the baldness cures and the erection remedies and all of that stupid stuff is aimed at people who do not have the common God-given sense that occurs in the skull of a newly hatched baby chick not to buy it. Spend the time that I spend listening to right-wing radio and see how many advertisements you hear for a legitimate product. They are few and far between. Because the right-wing radio business model is predicated on people supporting right-wing radio by being stupid enough to buy crap that doesn't do what it says it does. Avacort? Oh, it blocks the hormone dihydrotestosterone. Oh, great, I want my testosterone blocked. I'll... No. Not even if I have to go bald, no. You can never make a better investment than gold. You know, if I think that that's what this audience is about, I may as well hang it up and go home. Do you sit around worrying about the price of gold? Is that where you are? Are you so incompetent with the vacuum cleaner you have now that you need a new one that'll pick up the bowling balls that you leave laying around the house? Is that how this has to work? Can we not work with each other? Can we not make it work within the liberal side of the internet? I'm not sitting here saying, oh, you know, we're going to turn the lights off and Jesus is going to call me home. I'm not going to do that. But God Almighty, it drives me to distraction when I see that in the space of 9 months' time, people had $5 million and ran it down to nothing. Holy cow. When on the other hand, I could, under a best-case scenario, I could take $10,000 a month, that's $120,000 a year, and change lives. And make it possible for people to go from being a guy who works for a living and comes home and does a radio show to being able to just focus on doing the best radio show on earth, to being able to focus on going from 1 hour to doing three. So it's $120,000 a year I'm talking about, so that would mean it would take me... What, 50 years to go through what Greenstone Media went through in 9 months? That's what this is about. Whether this is a money thing or whether this is an idea thing, and whether or not, whether or not we're willing to start out where things have to start out. Jesus, if you can't start out with $5 million and survive for a year, you were wrong when you started. Yeah, dear?
These women were educated women, right?
Yeah.
Then
ain't nobody going to call Rosie O'Donnell or Jane Fonda or Gloria Steinem some sort of dummy.
Hey, look, I like Rosie. But quite honestly, you can't get on there and talk about gossip and expect it to make a difference.
Well, but see, there's a media model out there that says that you can, Agnes, because that's what The View is every day.
It's chickens going at one another. I mean, I'm sorry, gossip's fine if everything else is good, but look around you. With what's going on, it's more important about health care and lives than it is about if leg warmers are popular this year. I don't care if leg warmers are popular this year. And everybody...
But what if the skirt length is going to come up a half an inch? What's that going to do to your fashion budget, Agnes?
I don't have the legs for the skirts to come up, so I don't care. I'll wear what I want to wear. I'm not a follower. I'm a trendsetter. So what? But when you were talking about the hosts that are on air and everything they do, think of Jean and Sue and Susan and Betsy and Lottie. They're here. They moderate. They're here all the time. They put all this effort into bringing news to people and doing things. Nobody has looked at you. When we started this, I didn't look at you and said, well, I have to have pay. I've talked to a couple of women who've had radio experience, and their view on it, yeah, I'd love to do it. I just have to get paid. Well, I tell you what, with everything that's going on, I don't think a paycheck's going to make a difference. Paychecks are nice. It makes things run. But if you're committed, not just to yourself but to other people, that paycheck doesn't mean squat. Because what affects everyone else affects you too. And things need to change. And if you're not willing to change it, then don't cry about what happens when it doesn't change. We have to work together. I can't stand labeling of any sort. We're all the same. Cellular level, we're all the same. It's not Republicans, conservatives, liberals, libertarians. We're people. And in general, we should have the best interest because what's good for someone else is good for you. That's what unions started on. It was bringing people together to make their lives better. All of this has slipped away from us. And there's something better. We were getting there. It's just we've gotten off track. And if women want to sit and do henpecking at each other and talk about who pisses off the other one worse, well, that's fine. Cat fights are not meant to be on TV or radio. That's why they lost their money. You can pour money into a hole, and that's what it's going to get you. If these women were so educated, then why did they fail?
Well, let's see. I can answer that question. At their website, they say that Friday, August 17th was a bittersweet day indeed. Sad because it was the last day the Radio Ritas and Greenstone Media broadcasted live the news, our company is dissolving. Sweet because we heard from so many of you, our listeners, telling us what you liked about the show and what you'll miss. You know, it has been a Perils of Pauline ride for the past few weeks as we tried simultaneously to provide you with the best, most scintillating programming on radio and to prepare for an eventuality, including what now appears imminent, pulling the plug. Greenstone was formed 2 years ago to address the absence of a female-friendly talk programming on commercial radio. You know, that takes a lot of nerve. When you've got Randy Rhodes and Stephanie Miller out there, who are the absolute queens of their craft, to say that there was no female-friendly talk radio, you know, that's just a slur. That's a slur. And frankly, it's a little bit offensive to me too. And I won't dare speak for him, but you know, I listen to the women who call into Malloy's program, and the women who call into the programs on this network, and they don't seem to have a problem with the shows because we're guys. Again, that's one of the fundamental failings that you get, I guess, is assuming that because the one thing you cannot assume about a liberal or a progressive audience is that we will be pigeonholed. You know what? I don't believe I have any business in the abortion debate because I don't have a uterus. That doesn't change the fact that I believe that the nature of a human being is such that male or female, we should be left to make our own individual medical decisions between us, God if you believe in it, and a competent medical professional. All right? And I don't need a women's network or a men's network or a fetishistic Eskimo network to talk about that. I need honesty. I need candor. And Agnes, I'll leave you to speak for the XY chromosome half of the audience. Do you need honesty and candor more than you need to know it's a gender? Does it, you know, do we need to do the standard stock in trade? Oh, why won't he put the toilet seat back down business? Do we have to do that?
No, you don't. That's the whole point. That's stereotypical. That's why I said there.
It's demeaning.
There isn't any difference here. The women that call in, they're smart. It's a learning process, and we all have something to share. To look at a woman and say, oh, well, you know, it's all gender bias. That's so easy to do.
You need a women's network.
Well, I've got a uterus, and I'm getting ready to give it to a man. I hope he does it, you know, uses it well. But the point being, this isn't the old boys club. If it was, I wouldn't be here. I'm not that kind of girl. This is people working for people. We didn't start this to become millionaires. We didn't start this to be corporatists. We started this because we love people.
We started this to be communityists.
And also, when Bob talks about RMR, Gina was one of those people that would give the shirt right off her back to you. Passionate, beautiful, loving. And she believed in people. So I know that there are more out there like us, that we care for one another. Crying and moaning doesn't do us any good. It just puts you farther into the pit. Now, we work. We work every day. I don't need to listen to conservative talk. I do, because I want to see what they're saying. Most of it's a crock of crap. But the point being, if they can isolate you, if people can isolate you, then you'll begin to believe you're alone. If you're alone, then
you're
we wouldn't
done.
Exist. No, we wouldn't exist. You're not alone. So it's up to you. We can all build community, or we can stay off in our little isolated areas and pretend that we don't matter to anyone. If you're here and you're breathing, then you matter.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I've got an email here that I'd like to get to if I had a little bit more time. Well, maybe I'll just take enough time to try to take a run at it. A new listener writes and says, I'm new and I have questions. This is Jared. Can you please explain the overall liberal stance on issues such as tax cuts, abortions, and the war in Iraq? I've only got about 2 minutes left, and I think I can still do it. The war in Iraq is wrong. The war in Iraq was started for the wrong reasons. It was wrong when it was started. It's wrong right now. It will come to a wrong outcome because it was begun wrong. Two wrongs do not make a right, and nothing ever applied, as far as old sayings go, more plainly than it does to the Iraq War. No good can come of it. You know, we've all heard, you've probably heard your parents or your grandparents say that somewhere. Ah, no good can come of that. Guess what? That's the war in Iraq. No good can come of it. Period. Now, we can do depth, but I mean, that's the short answer. Abortions? Ain't none of my business. Ain't none of the American Family Association or the Focus on the Family or the right or the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. It ain't none of anybody's business any more than an appendectomy is, okay, or brain surgery or any other decision that one person has to make in consult with a medical professional. You don't want one? Don't have one. Easy enough, isn't it? That's, you know, Occam's razor. The simple answer is most often the most elegant and most likely to be correct. Don't want an abortion? Don't have an abortion. Simple? Is that a problem? Is that a problem? Tax cuts? Tax cuts? Okay, here's a good example. I believe that a person, that family of four at the poverty level, making $20,450, should not be taxed at a higher rate than a hedge fund manager. Is that so hard to get hold of? I don't think so. I believe the people who do the work in this country deserve the tax breaks. A person who has never lifted a finger to make a nickel of their money owes a debt to the society that protects that money for them, and they can pay it at a fair rate. And they certainly don't deserve to get a bigger tax cut on that those taxes than someone who actually works for a living. Make sense? I think so. So that's it. I'm sorry about the long 45-minute diatribe about Greenstone Media, but this thing has been, it was under my skin all day long. Because it drives me crazy to see well-meaning, smart people just default into a failed idea. And the failed idea isn't liberal talk. The failed idea is trying to do liberal talk on a right-wing Republican model. And it will fail every time. Yeah, right? Yeah, you think? So thanks, Agnes. Sorry for the rain. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer. Thanks to Ben. Enjoy your vacation, Ben Birch. And always, 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 Gina, RMR, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Dean has now been downgraded to a Category 1 storm after hitting Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula this morning as a powerful Category 5. Forecasters warn Dean could pick up steam again, though, as it passes over the warm Gulf waters and makes landfall again on the Mexican mainland tomorrow. At the Montebello Summit in Ottawa, Canada's Prime Minister, Mexico's President, and President Bush made broad agreements on three issues they'll work together on addressing: ensuring the safety of imported products, solutions to environmental challenges, and securing borders against terrorists. Russian military officials want the Czech Republic to postpone a decision to accept a U.S. radar station. Moscow views the proposed missile intercept system as a threat and told Prague it could be making, quote, a big mistake, end quote, by agreeing to it. The trial of 15 former officials from the Saddam Hussein regime began today in Baghdad. They face charges of crimes against humanity for a massacre of as many as 100,000 Shiites during a 1991 uprising. Iran has released an Iranian-American academic after holding her for 3 months in prison on charges that she was a national security risk. Hala Esfandiari is now free on bail. No indictment has been issued, but Iranian officials say that they'll continue investigating. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has bowed out of the presidential race. The 65-year-old billionaire said today that he cannot win and will not run. In Minneapolis, a 13th body has been recovered from the collapsed bridge ruins. Authorities say all of those previously missing are now accounted for. Continued rain in Missouri, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma is adding to the flooding and landslides that have claimed at least 20 lives. In Montana, continued high winds are feeding wildfires that have already consumed nearly 100,000 acres.